Hi, everybody. It's Todd. Everything's fine. I know sometimes you get alarmed when I come on. Oh, my God, what's wrong? Is something wrong? What's wrong? Oh, my God, something's wrong. Is something wrong? Oh, look at you. I got you smiling already. Don't I? I do? I don't? Come on. Come on. All right, here's what's going on. I hope you enjoy the show today. Our guest is Eddie Pepitone, but we have a bonus this week. Well, on the 12th, we're going to drop another show with Chris Hardwick, and it was a lot of fun to sit down and talk with Chris, and we had a good time, and we had fun, and it was good stuff. So there you go. Today is Eddie Pepitone. Then on the 12th, this Monday, is Chris Hardwick. And then we'll be back on our regular show on the 16th with Rory Scovel again. So it's all good. All right. Now, here's what I'd like to have happen right now. I'd like to not slowly. Start my theme right now to the show. Go!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Very funny comedian, Mr. Todd Glass is here.
Comedy Central presents Todd Glass.
From the beautiful Las Cienega Strip, high atop Black Horse Motors, it's the Todd Glass Show.
That doesn't mess around, that ending. Just goes right off, but... This is the way I talk when we go on the air. I don't know what I'm doing. But let's take a second here, everybody. I thought about this. Everybody stop. Just enjoy life. Sounds cheesy.
By the way, I'm Eddie Pepitone. I agree with that. So...
I just do it while the guests are talking, so it's not... Don't ignore it.
Can we all just... enjoy our life.
You don't mind betting music, do you?
No, this is what I play during my meditation. You know I meditate twice
with
a day.
With a trumpet?
We meditate with a trumpet? Hold on, turn that off. Are you serious?
Yes,
do you mind showing us what you do? We'll play the trumpet music? Where are you when you do it? Just seriously.
I'm in my apartment. My roommate's a trumpeter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's a trumpeter.
What they call him?
So, well, a trumpeter. He isn't a guy who plays a trumpet. A trumpeter is someone who plays a trumpet in a very flourishing manner. Like, like he plays the trumpet when it counts. You know what
Hold
I mean?
Hold on, Eddie. Hold on. I really want to. This show. If it's serious, it's okay. So I don't want you to think like. So right. I would like to really see. Can you play the trumpet music? And you're in your bedroom.
Okay, go ahead. Play it because.
Okay.
Can you turn it down a bit? I'm trying to meditate.
And that's how it goes. I mean, and it's great. You know what I mean? And that's how I meditate.
With trumpet
music. He will stop for a minute.
It works.
Can I try it? I mean, because I feel like maybe I'll be honest. I'm laughing because it doesn't seem like very calming music. But let me just, maybe it's, by the way, the lead into this song.
That's the music that they play when you are let into an institution now. That is the music you hear. When you are let into a psychiatric ward.
Come with me. All right, E41. I need you guys. You're in an institution now.
It helps people.
All right, hold on. For what it's worth, and let me just, I like to drive the show. I like organized chaos. Someone said, I need to drive the show. It's my job. Let me just say
I love you because you get a lot of advice.
I do. I take it all. Turn Eddie's mic down.
hold on. Can we turn Eddie's mic down, please? This is Todd Glass.
No, Eddie, Andrew. The lead into that trumpet music, I have a feeling I figured out what it is, and this is give me 1 second here. The kid that probably recorded that and put it online puts the trumpet down, he picks up a suitcase. You didn't cut any of it out. Play it again. I want to hear. Didn't you think that you should have taken that out?
You know what, though?
What do you think?
Well, what I think is that it shows that the internet isn't a seamless thing.
That's true. You know what I mean?
It's like, yes, it's part of life. Let's enjoy that sound.
You know what? You're right.
So let me go back to what I said.
Makes it more authentic.
Take a deep breath. Enjoy. Just stop. You ever do that? I know that sounds cliche.
It's hard.
But it's true. If you can do it, if you can just stop for a second and just go, my problems are not that big. But you know what I think? Somebody has problems that are that big. What do you tell them?
Yeah, don't give them that advice.
What advice?
You know, somebody with the real problems.
Go faster. With the real problems, you tell him, Al, let's say his name is Al. Al, you really got to move your ass here or you're dead. That's what you tell those people.
Now, what if, like, you know, when I see, like, me, my problems are a lot of, I don't know what they are for you guys, but for me sometimes, you know, money gets a little tight here and there, or you get a, you know, or whatever it is, or dealing with some of my family problems back in Philadelphia. No big deal. Just, you know, regular family. So I always say my problems aren't that big because I look at someone that really is in a situation and I go, come on, like, out of respect to them, what do you tell people like that? Like, let's say they are just have some debilitating disease. What do you say to them? You go, you have a right to be. You should be depressed.
Well, I think also.
I don't talk to people like that. It's depressing.
That's true. We'll take a break. And we'll be right back right after this. Our guest is Eddie Pepitone. We'll be back right after this. 102.7. I can't afford my own jingles, so I just use these.
I didn't think we were taking a break already, but...
I can't. These are expensive to buy.
Somebody's got to pay for these shows. It's a very short segment.
It's just a short thing.
That is fucking...
Hold on. Don't
Eddie,
please,
Eddie,
no.
Come on.
Music. Please don't talk during the jingles. Do not talk during the jingles.
That'd be a great thing to play at an airport. Folks, do not talk during the jingles.
You can shut that off.
This is JetBlue. I swear to Christ, if you talk during the jingles, you will be escorted into the area where good things are far, far away.
Wait, I got to ask you, what jingles on JetBlue?
No, I mean, you know, when you're walking through an airport terminal, you hear, or on the TVs, there are jingles playing. There are some advertisements. Right. And since people talk constantly, I think that'd be a funny thing to do. One thing you cannot do in this airport here at O'Hare, let's say it's O'Hare, is talk during the goddamn jingles or you will be brought to a place where no good happens.
Our guest is Eddie Pepitone. This is the style I go for. I hope you don't mind it.
All right, sorry.
Our guest is Eddie Pepitone. Before we go any further, before we went on the air, I said, I don't know, and I don't mind if I am. I love smoking pot, but the amount I smoke, I don't know what you would consider me.
You are a pothead, and this is what I told you, and you said, let's talk about it on the air.
Well, how do you define a pothead?
Someone who has to have it. That's all.
Even if it's once a month.
That seems very loud in my headset.
You know what? That's a really good point. But the people who have to have it, never will it just be once a month. That's just a given.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. And I don't want to make it sound like if I enjoy the pot, like I'm apologizing for it. I'm trying to give you an honest amount how much I smoke. And if we believe that I'm being honest, then you'll be able to answer me.
Maybe it's the meditation that helps.
All right, too. All right, so we'll just, I'm sorry.
Hey, Al, can you fucking, every time I try to meditate, you start in with this shit. Do you have a sixth sense?
I'm trying to play the trumpet for you, you ungrateful piece of shit.
Yeah, but life is full of noise. We live in a fucking horrifically noisy planet. And I can't get down to the LA River where it's beautiful because of the barbed wire.
All right. So let me explain to you how much
somebody that has to have it.
Hold on. By the way, there is something called. This is all. If you're using some of the what people say when you're an alcoholic, you can be a twice a year alcoholic.
A what?
A twice a year alcoholic. Someone goes, what if you only drink twice a year? If you drink on Christmas and New Year's and you end up just doing destructive things, you can be a twice a year alcoholic. So I wouldn't think the amount of pot whether it makes you a pothead or not. But let me. I'm going a little all over the place. But hold on. Mm-hmm. I smoke. And again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm apologizing because if I could smoke more, I would. I'd smoke more if I could.
I don't care either. I was a big pothead, so I also feel like I know who is and who isn't.
But let me ask you this. And again, here's the way I don't smoke maybe once a year I smoke during the day. If I'm on vacation and I could smoke, I smoke during the day, literally.
That's true.
You never smoke during the day?
I never smoke during the day because I'm not a productive pot smoker. I don't. And by the way, I don't do it because I'm asking for kudos for it.
See, you're making me want to smoke again.
Well, hold on. Let me. So I don't smoke during the day. And at night when I smoke, I'm a, you know, one or two hit guy. And I get high for 5 hours. So if you had to ask me clean, I'm being honest, how much pot I smoke a week? I would say max two joints a week.
However, what's going on now with pot is that it's so fucking strong.
It is.
That one or two hits just means you're stoned out of your ass. So
the reason
you
I
know. So do you get stoned every night? Let me ask you.
No, that. I don't get stoned every night.
How
and
many
I think
nights a week?
I would say probably about three nights a week.
That's all pot.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. If you see how high I get, people that see me smoke, I think that's why I still get high. Because even though three nights a week is consistently smoking pot, three nights a week, it's a decent amount. But every time I smoke pot, someone said this once, they go, they probably smoke 7 days a week, you know, and they go, every time you smoke, it's like an experience. Like they saw, I go, yeah, I still get high. Like it's not like I'm just smoking to, so I mean.
Now the only reason I said you were pothead.
Were you all day?
Yeah, I am. You're way better than I am. And the only reason I'm saying that you were a pothead is because when you did my show last time, you were backstage. I never knew if I didn't have an opinion one way or another on it.
He's right.
I didn't have an opinion one way or another on it. But you were backstage that night going, there was something up your head. You were like, I need it now.
You know
and
what?
I observed that and I said, oh, I didn't know Todd. This was my thought that night, and that's why I said you were pot.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know Todd really fucking
well, that's
like
a,
that with,
that's,
with weed.
That's really observant, and if I saw what you saw, I would think the same thing.
What happened?
I even said that to Daniel that night.
What happened
I think,
to you that night?
I think because I don't smoke, I don't know why. I keep saying this. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, like one of those people that drinks a lot and goes, what? I only had a cocktail there.
Also, though, I want to say that telltale sign of a pothead is that he's always doing that thing of, well, I only smoked it. Like, you're always – but if you don't do that, that's cool. But if you're just doing it for this purpose
no, I think
this
if,
conversation.
I think, no, no.
But if you're always going to friends, look, I only have it about three times. Like, if you're always doing that kind of thing.
I think to really tell if somebody is, you know, for what it's worth, if they're a pothead or how much – let's say this conversation is because no one's judging anybody.
I
no
miss
one cares.
Pot. I miss it so much.
If I wasn't in the room and you asked Daniel personally, if you said, or any of my friends, hey, how much does Todd smoke? I think they'd all say the same thing. I go, they all pretty much know it's about three or four times a week, three times. And I don't smoke during the day, like I said, maybe once a year, if that. I never. So it's usually at night. Even during the show, I won't smoke during the show. But
even like a weekend?
After show, the after show.
During the day? Like
no.
A big long weekend like we just had, Labor Day weekend, like a barbecue and shit?
No.
Oh, you're way better than me because I would have been high all
so
weekend.
So why did you quit?
I quit because two reasons. One, I started getting panic attacks.
God damn it, I'm trying to smoke a joint and listen to Dark Side of the Moon. Every time I try to listen to Dark Side of the Moon, Al, you cut in with this shit, which is the opposite of Roger Waters. Granted, it was Waters early.
All right.
Okay, so
no, okay, that's enough. So you smoked all...
I started getting panic attacks, and I think this was another thing behind the panic attacks, is I was like, holy shit, I think I quit when I was 40. I'm 52. I smoked from 14 to 40. I just started getting panic attacks, and I was like, you know what? Since I smoke it so regularly, I'm just not going to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I to me, pot, like Todd says he doesn't smoke it during the day, like, I would be like, oh, shit. I would be Netflixing shit. Like, I just become a complete pleasure addict with pot.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, especially now with the internet, there is so much to fucking just, like, even without pot, but with it, I'd be like, oh, I could streamline the Lockerbie movie. Whatever that means, you know, the Lockerbie movie. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Well, everybody died in that one. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not productive.
Did you start noticing anything, you know, like really big and significant once you quit? And then, you know, like a month later or 2 weeks later? Or...
Well, did I notice anything right away?
Right away or at all or at some point?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm just I'm a better comedian when I'm not smoking.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think it is. And again, if we're – no one's judging anybody here. This is just about a conversation of – so it's not like if you're being honest with the information you're putting in, then people are honestly able to react to what
–
I'll give you another example of – and I think what it is, I like things – I like I like smoking pot, and I don't want to ever get to the point where I love it that much, where if I keep it in moderation, I know I'll be able to do it the rest of my life. And I'll give you another example, and I think at my age, I've proven that I can do this. Vicodin. If I said how much Vicodin? I like Vicodin.
What about Vicodin?
I can...
Have you heard my slogan for Vicodin?
No.
No one ever uses this. But what if the slogan for Vicodin is, Vicodin, come to think of it, I am a little sore.
Vicodin, aren't you a little sore?
Think about it.
I like that. That's great. Vicodin, aren't you a little sore? Yeah, come to think of
it. No, whenever I have prescription drugs like that are great, maybe this makes me an addict, is that I'm like, you know, maybe I am a little sore. Yeah. Like I start manufacturing it.
Here's my deal with Vicodin.
Yeah.
When I've done it, I really have enjoyed it recreationally. And I don't want to ever have to give that up. So here's the thing. I will get... I'll give you an example.
So you don't take it after real
You don't
injuries.
Sound like an addict to me. Maybe I'm going to take back the pothead thing. You sound like someone who's very, very good at just keeping it to, like, you know, a little...
Well, here's the deal with the Vicodin. And that I go, you know what? Recreationally, to do it here and there. When I say recreationally, here's how little. Mm. But I do like it when I do it. You know, it seems like every few years something will happen. I'll have some dental work done. They give you the bottle. You know what's weird? They give you like 20. And I've never had a situation where what I really need is two.
That's funny. Yeah,
two. I need one for 20. The first night and the second night.
The doctors know, too, when day two you're like, hey, doc, I went through them.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, right.
The root canal really flared.
So what happens
is... I had to take 30.
I have the two. I have the two that I really need. And then the rest of them, they'll last me a year. Like a year. And then I've never bought them from anybody, but I know when that happens, I'm going to get those, take the two I need, and then the rest and then they'll last me for a year. And then I've never bought them other than needed them for real and then taken the remainder.
That's how recreational. If we're on the road, that's how he'll get me to do stuff. Hey, you want to go to the mall? No, Todd, I'm just want to get high and watch TV. I'll give you a Vicodin.
That's not true.
I'll give you a Vicodin.
That's not true.
You use it to bribe people.
No.
Like the airline guy, come on, I know it's not a carry-on. Here's a Vicodin.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Imagine that if airline attendants were like,
I'm
right,
sorry, be at the thing, ready? Sir, I'm looking down here. We don't have any emergency or bulkhead. You're going to have to keep your middle seat.
Could you just open your hand a little? There you go. You got a Vicodin now, okay?
We do have an emergency row.
I thought so.
Yeah,
I
we do have
so.
It. Okay, thank so. You.
Here's another Vicodin for the pilot.
I like that. Andrew threw in a little ambient noise. All right, here's what I do have a little bit of an agenda today, but it's not a big deal. Oh, by the way, Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Now, when I'm around you, I've talked to Henry Phillips about this, and I will say the same thing about you. Maybe, I don't know if it's in your personal life or just when you're around other people, but you're fun to be around.
Am I?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. You're just a funny, fun person.
Yeah. Like, you enjoy stand-up comedy, and I think you, when you're around you, but let me ask you, who in your life, I'll tell you why I'm asking this.
I get excited by other comedians. I like you. I like Henry. And when I'm around those type of – I love to play. And I know you do too because when we shot that movie, me and Todd shot a terrific little film that will be coming out in a few decades. Or it didn't come out, but whatever. But we would just fucking play.
We would just do bits. That's the essence
of comedy.
Yeah, full-grown adults. We're staying – it's an independent film, so they rented a house, and there's like five or six of us staying in there. We're in different bedrooms, but you feel like a little kid because you come home, and then you go into your room, and then you put your pajamas on or your shoe. Like, I wear gym shorts for –
I thought you were adult because you would always work out, and I was like, wow, he really has his shit together. I would never work out. I would try to take a walk by the river there in Montana.
This was in Montana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was beautiful.
It was pretty. Missoula? I forgot.
I think you're right. But do you know, as far as enjoying life, is there somebody in your life that you think they really enjoy life? Like, and you want to learn from them. Do you have anybody in your life like that? And Daniel, same question.
That they really enjoy it.
Yeah, they have their problems. I mean, obviously, you have to say it like this. Yeah, of course, they have their problems. They get happy. They get sad. But overall, they really seem to enjoy life, which part of that means...
You know what? What's really fucked up is I can't think of anyone who, like, really enjoyed... Like, all my friends seem to have a dark and a light side. You know what I mean? Like, they all have their fucking deep darkness. Because I don't know about you, but I cue into people's dark side. Like, I'm, like... I was brought up in a pretty crazy fucking household. So I always go right to people's like, oh, that one's crazy.
Like, can I ask you, if you, and by the way, crazy of a household?
Well, my mom was clinically crazy. So, you know, I grew up with people going in and out of hospitals. And my dad was, he was Sicilian. I loved the Italian side. My mom was Jewish and my dad was Sicilian, and the Italians were pretty fun.
And as far as like being like, you know, in institutions, hospitalized.
The worst. I mean, one of the institutions my mom was in did have a great game room. The ping pong, Pac-Man, it was just terrific. And they would have the biggest chefs ever. Come on now, right this way, Mrs. Pepitone. Right this way. Yeah, you're going into electroshock. She went through electroshock. You know, and they would play that type of music.
I give my mom a lot of credit. I don't know if she knows this or not, but hold on, let me cough. Excuse me.
Was she institutionalized?
No, her mother. And I don't mean normal crazy. Her mother was seriously crazy. And my mom didn't pass it on. She
stopped with her.
She went to therapy at a young age and got her thoughts together and got her life together. And I don't, you know, it's weird because I'll say it on this podcast, but I have even asked my brothers. I think my mom wants to know that we think she did a good job. And I and all my brothers do.
Is she listening to the podcast?
No, but maybe she might.
They don't talk anymore.
No. She might. My sister-in-law listens. But my mom's mother was really crazy. And growing up, I never even knew that this was normal. The word was that her dad left when my mom was 13. So when you're 10, 11, 12, you hear that her dad left when she was 13. I go, why did he do that? That's the most. She goes, well, my mother was crazy and he didn't know what to do. And she never spoke ill of her. Of her father. She was just, he had to leave. He didn't know what back then. You didn't get a divorce. But then I reached an age. It wasn't until later in life. It could have been 25. You know, you're an adult at 25, but it wasn't. It wasn't until I was like 40 where I went, that was fucked up.
What happened to your mom?
Yeah, my brother said the same thing. He's got a kid that's that age, 13, and he thought, I can't imagine just fucking packing up and leaving. And then I think, good for my mom for just going, you know what? No, this doesn't have to – I don't have to be crazy. The buck, you know, sort of
– She sounds like a strong person.
Yeah, she did
– I snap when there's just a line at Starbucks. You know what I mean? Like, never mind someone leaving me. You know, when
are you in therapy?
I recently went back to therapy. I hadn't been in therapy for years, for like 4 or 5 years, which is a long time for me. Like 4 or 5 years, I was like, I don't need this shit. And now I'm back in therapy, and it's pretty good. Are you in therapy at all?
I'm not.
Of you guys in therapy?
You
are you?
Mm-hmm.
I find it's really, you know what's the hardest thing about therapy? Being brutally honest, because. Mm-hmm. Do you have that too?
Yeah,
like
I had
brutally honest.
Yeah, because you're still embarrassed, which you're.
Yes,
you're still afraid that you're going to be judged, which is the entire reason you go there.
Which
is to
fucking
get rid of
hilarious
it.
Because it's. I catch myself lying to my shrink, and that's the one person that you shouldn't lie to. I'm like,
lying to your doctors.
I told her I was on Carson. I was not on Carson. You know what I mean? Like, I'm lying. I am pumping up my credits. I am not kidding. I am pumping up my credits.
Is this true?
I did Johnny.
I love that because I've been there and not that situation. But you're like, you pump up. You know
what? But to my shrink.
When I was
trying to help me.
When I used to be like on an airplane before I had ever done any TV shows or anything, I was 5 years into comedy. Now, 5 years into comedy. You're a real comic. You're not someone, oh, my son does comedy.
You haven't dropped out, yeah.
And you're doing it. Maybe it was 7 years. You haven't done any TV yet. And so I'd be on an airplane. I would go, I'm a stand-up. And then someone would go, oh, my cousin does stand-up. And I wanted to let him know. No, I'm a fucking stand-up. I'd be like, and I would casually go, yeah, well, see, what have you done? Yeah, I've been on The Tonight Show. And you could always tell they were, oh, you're a real comic. But I was lying to someone on an airplane because I wanted to. But anyway, back to you talked here. Here's the thing that I think can be great about therapy. I have been in it. We have a
family. You were in it.
I went in when I was younger, and we have my mom was in therapy for a little while, even later after my dad died about 20 years ago, and she went to therapy. And he's in the family now. We know him. And here's what happens when we have some problems in our family. We go in. His name's Dr. Ebert. 3 hours we go in because I've learned you need it. First you do one, you realize you can't get anything done.
When you go in.
We'll go in when we're having problems. No, just like for instance, we don't go in for 3 or 4 years. And then there's a family drama and we went in once and did this. It works so well. He deals with it in 3 hours. We get a 3 hour visit because with five people, you need 3 hours. At the end of three hours, you can get to the meat of it.
Right.
He goes, I'll see you again in 3 years, I hope. Meaning he does these problems we have. We don't need to be in there every week. But I'll tell you what, it's awesome. And I found, you know, being in therapy, I think the thing everyone needs to find, and it's just my opinion here, mm-hmm. but you need to find a therapist that mixes just not over-therapized. Sometimes I found the great therapist, sometimes they just have the ability to go, oh, you're being stupid. And save for everything going back to when you were a kid, because some of that stuff, I do agree with that. Sometimes you have to go back to the past to find out where something's coming from. Sometimes yeah. you don't. And I like when a therapist knows when to sort of, you know, dish it out in that right doses. Because yeah. a lot of times in therapy, it's just, you yeah. know, I think it's, you know what, I think it is so good to go, even though I haven't been in therapy for many years. You wouldn't laugh at anything else. You would never go, oh, you bring your car to a mechanic? Of course you do. You can't fix your, but for some reason with therapy, even in 2011, people still like, it's got to, what, to get your mind straight? No, you call a plumber? Yeah. It's like going, yeah. oh, why do you call a plumber? Oh, I couldn't fix a toilet. Why do you call a mechanic? I can't. But the yeah. human brain, what about that? I think I can figure that one out. No, there's people.
That's true.
Yeah, there's people that they're good. Even when our therapist wasn't using what she learned in school, you know, when she yeah. needed to therapize, what I call, just having a third person
yeah.
to be able
That's
to.
That's what I've realized, because I stopped for like, I don't know, five, six years. And when you stop, you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm okay. But then going back, I just realized I'm getting a lot clearer on other things because, mm-hmm. you know, your fucking mind talks you into shit like, no, I got this. I got this.
You ever had your friend eat through your session?
You ever what?
Have him eat through your session? Like, have their lunch?
A shrink?
No, they can't. Yeah. First of all, I would never put up with, well, I say that, but I probably would. But that can't be. That's not good.
I had a guy one time do that.
Yeah.
You just eat a salad. I'm telling you about my mother.
There are some bad shrinks out there.
Yeah.
There are some really bad shrinks because I don't know. There are some – I had to cut a few, like, just, are you fucking kidding me?
And I think if you understand that a good therapist can really do amazing things and you get a bad shrink, same as an ear doctor. You wouldn't go to a bad ear doctor and go, yeah, I went to an ear doctor. He's a quack. So what? Now you're not going to go? Nah, don't go. No, you'd find a good ear doctor. So I think if you think, you know, that if you think therapy can be good and you go to a bad one, because obviously there's bad ones.
But the bad ones can really fuck you up. Like, I slept with one of my shrinks years ago.
Are you serious?
It was a hot, torrid, you know, she kept asking me, you know. And like, after I would make out, she would go, oh, the guilt you're feeling is from your childhood. Like, weird fucking shit.
One more thing about therapy that, you know, sometimes I have these theories and then it just seems, you know, maybe it's just one of Todd's theories. And then later it becomes the norm. And
do you have
a lot
of theories that become the norm?
I have. I do.
I'm telling you, the universe is expanding.
Hey, let me
shut up, class.
Let me tell you something. They're not always therapy theories.
I know.
When I was little, when you go to the Philadelphia airport and then you go to where you have to go, like in Dallas, when you go to the airport, it's nice. The minute you pull out of the airport, it's nice. It's in Philadelphia, the airport, then you have to drive through, what do they call, where they keep the gas, the oil refinery.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's disgusting. Yeah, and that's your welcome to Philadelphia. And when I was like 15, I went on the side of the road, they should plant trees. And everyone, oh, isn't that great? Guess what? 2003, they started putting up some fucking trees. And I went, that's fucking right. Of course. Now when they'll grow and you don't have to look at all that crap. But anyway, that's a neither here nor there.
And did anybody bother to give you credit?
Well, my one brother did remember. He said, remember when you talked about that? I'm like, yes, I did. Anyway, let me go back to the therapy here.
Yeah.
I know a few people. I can't believe this isn't a rule in therapy. If you are in therapy and you're trying to get help, and I know one girl in particular right now in therapy, if I could go in, because I love her, you know, not as a girlfriend, as a friend, I love her, and shed some light. I see the mistake she's making, and I think there's no way.
Does she have a good family? Probably not.
She has a decent family, yeah.
Because I was going to say that a lot of times the reason why people need therapy is because they don't have a good support structure around them.
Well, you know what that's even.
Well, I think also what happens, what is dangerous, is sometimes therapy will become like the last refuge for safety for them, because that your friends will probably see your bullshit after a while, and your coworkers, and then you can go to your shrink and kind of get your reassurance. So
not a good shrink.
Hold on. So let me. I've even asked the family therapist we go to about this, and he said, "Well, hold on. Let me stay in order here." So what I was saying was. I can't believe it's not norm that in therapy, let's say this girl that I know, she's in therapy, that therapist on the fourth visit or fifth visit should say, listen, I would like to, if you're okay with this, it can really bypass a lot of, you know, eventually I will see when you're, you know, of course you're not lying to me, but when maybe you don't know, you know, I would like to bring in two people that you love very much. Forget about two people you don't love or you two people who are two people in your life that you really love. I'd like to have an hour with them without you. And let me tell you something. There's no way at the end of that hour that therapist wouldn't go. And there's two people that love you. They're in the room. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is probably true. You pick them, so it's not like a crazy.
They would all be in the room together.
No. The other person wouldn't. The person that's getting therapy couldn't be there because and it takes a little bit of trust because you'd have to say, God, I'm sending two people in. I do love them. Mm-hmm. They might be saying things I don't want the therapist to know or things I don't even know I'm lying about. But that could fast forward the help you're getting. With this girl, if I could go in there, I go, I know she's not telling this therapist. She's still making the same mistakes. A year, I want to go in there and go, and you know,
she may need to take just a good swim.
That's like one time.
That's what my grandmother would say. Take a fucking swim.
Did she really say fuck?
No, she didn't say fuck.
My manager's assistant once.
She was killed by people I owe money to. She was a beautiful woman.
Your mother?
My grandmother.
Who do you owe money to?
I just had to give names, and I gave my grandmother's name.
Oh, no. How much money, Eddie?
It was just a horse racing thing at Aqueduct. You know New York?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But I lost my grandmother. Huh?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Tommy Two Tones took her out because I said she had money underneath her eggplant garden. She grew eggplant in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so we started talking
that
about
is not
therapy.
True.
She didn't grow eggplants? Come on.
Tomatoes.
You know what I was thinking the other day?
They should plant trees around the fucking thing.
Oh, you know what? We have your mother on the phone.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Peppertone.
Hi, Mom. It's Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Oh, Mom. I love you. Now, look,
Where is she? Where is she?
She's in an institution right now.
I'm in an institution, yes.
Mom, don't play ping pong with Lenny.
Oh, you're playing the horn. It relaxes me.
But Lenny takes you for money, and you only get a certain amount of money a week from Daddy.
Eddie?
Yes?
Your dad is not here anymore.
What? I don't know what to do with that.
boy. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the improv group. Imagine an improv group called Bailout.
I would love it.
Hello, we're bailout. Give us a suggestion. Cops, not interested. Good night. Like their show.
I would love that because I get into the bits, and that's what's good about comedians. If we do a bit, we can bail right out of it. You're smelling it's not working. Mm. Hey, I have to change course a little bit here. Mm-hmm. We feel like the therapy, we all got, anybody have a thought? They were like, oh, I wanted to say that or anything before we move on?
I just feel like society is falling apart. Now, I don't know if this is a projection, but I feel like because the economy is falling apart and I feel like a lot of the things that kept people sane are breaking down. I really do. And
like,
I feel like therapy.
Like what?
What?
Like
what kept people sane? Families having a decent income keeps people sane, and they don't anymore. They really don't.
But let me ask you a question.
I mean, doesn't insanity
just wear different hats? Because look back in the 50s when everybody had jobs and look how many aren't all the problems we're having now. I love when
they're intensified,
but they're not because of what happened in the 50s. I'm talking about social problems amongst families and the dysfunction in families. Isn't that from all the shit that because I like that the 50s act like they did everything right. I call it the 50s. You know, we did everything right. Now, look what's going on. No, if it would have been right. We'd still be doing it.
I don't think the majority of people thinks that.
Thinks what?
That the 50s were great.
That's true.
I think we've moved on. Do you think they do?
No, I agree with you.
I think. Why do I always meet people that they thought family values were better, and they always go?
That's because you play a lot of C rooms.
There's a phone call for you.
Oh, who is it?
It's the guy who invented this phone thing. The guy.
Oh, it is.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I invented this phone thing.
All right, I got nothing. All right, so that was not even worth it.
Bail out! We'll be here all week unless we get a better offer!
anyway, all right, let's get out of that. Where we're at. Hey, you know what? Here's what I'm going to admit something, and I don't know. If you have something like it, I want to stop doing this.
What?
And this is the first time I've ever publicly talked about this. I have a problem stealing.
And, are you being serious?
Yeah. Yeah. And I won't,
I do too.
I won't steal something off a shelf. Well, you might, I'm not, I don't want to throw you in the hole by tell you what I do. What I do is wrong. And I won't do it, like, I won't put something in my pocket at Target or anything like that. I do things, and by the way, don't, I don't want to make it look like I'm explaining what I'm doing is right. It's not. It's not within myself. Whether you can get arrested or not has nothing to do with something's right or wrong. But, like, I'll be at Starbucks, and if I have my coffee in the water, maybe I know how to place my water so they don't charge me for it. You know what I mean? Like, you put it there, and then they don't charge you, and then you really, you know, and then they, you just charge you for the coffee, and... Or yeah, so
that's funny.
Yeah,
to me.
Or, mm-hmm. yeah, so or I'll be that at a hotel
because it's not obvious because it's not about money. It's just this
it's,
weird thing.
It is and it isn't.
It is and it isn't. It is and it isn't. Because I have the same like little thing. Like, what were you going to say about a hotel?
Because well, hotel, it's out of goddamn control. I mean, like robes and towels.
Oh,
and,
yeah, me too.
And sheets and pillowcases.
I feel like here's my justification for all that shit. Like taking robes and towels is that I feel like they fucking have this included in their fucking price.
See here, I by the way, I feel comfortable telling you this because I do the same thing, so I'm not on a pedestal. I think here's why I don't want to do it anymore. I told Daniel about this off the podcast. I said that I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do it. I'm trying to think of other examples. The Starbucks, or if something's in my cart at a, I honestly won't do it, but if something's in my cart and they don't see it and then I go through, I wouldn't say, oh my God, you forgot to charge. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And I'll tell you why I thought about it. Whatever you want to call it, karma, because I think some people, I used to think karma, people thought was like implemented by a God, like a higher source. Whether we don't know if that's true or not, even if you think it is, you're not positive. But I am positive that I know within myself that that's not right. And if I'm going to do that, what else am I doing that I'm not being honest with myself? Now, could I be as silly to go, oh, nothing else. Oh, no, I do that, but in all other areas of my life, I'm honest. Come on, this doesn't make sense. That sounds like a crazy person talking. So that's why I want to stop it, because maybe that is just self-implemented. I don't even like to use the word karma, because with that word comes a vision of what people think that is. I think by, like, you know, it's going to be – it's self-imposed, which, by the way, is why I think if people did things that were good for other reasons than God, we would have a better world, because there's always a 1% doubt that there's a God – up there. I don't care what anybody says. I know that's cocky, but everybody's agnostic, even if it's 1%. But you are fucking positive that you're there, and to answer to yourself, you don't ever go, I wonder if I, you know what I mean? So I think when I started looking at that way, I go, yeah, I got to stop that. I
feel that way about lies lately. Like every time I lie to someone, I feel like that is bad for me. Never mind them.
Well, that's a really. That's,
I feel like, and doing what you're talking about is kind of a lie. Like you didn't tell.
I lie about stealing, so I'm just a shitty person.
Let me react. Let me just. What you just said is the perfect example to what I do. Like, forget about the part of the lie. Like, if you get caught, let's say you never get caught. So that erases that out of it. You know, you're. But even that you are not able to – that's got to affect you in other areas. If you can't be honest and you think, well, what about white lies? And let me tell you something. I think the answer to this is, look, we're always going to have to make white lies. But you know in your own soul if it's out of control.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone's out there. I don't know if there's someone out there that goes, no, I used to lie now 100% of the time, except for surprise parties and stuff like that. Okay, obviously. But I'm talking about – have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried to go a month where you go, I'm not – like, give me an example of a lie, like to not hurt someone's feelings, or can you do a show? How about, hey, can you do my show Thursday night? Those type of lies, or what are you talking about?
What kind of lies am I talking about? Just blatantly lying to my dad that I'm not in New York when I am. And I've done that. I mean, I have fucking done that. And you know what? That's not good for the relationship.
But here's the problem with that. Probably the work that it would take to get you to where you could now be honest. Like if you're in an incredible healthy relationship with your parents and you know they love you and they love and everybody, it's really just healthy, and you were coming to New York for 2 days, but you didn't have time to see them.
That's
you'd
the
be
problem.
Able to say, but that takes, I'm not saying not to try to get there, but that work takes been doing that. You would have had to been doing that since
from
you
the
were
beginning
a young child. So now how can you, so now you're covering up, you're using lies sometimes to.
Have you ever tried just like go without lying? Like watch it and just see how
it's interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to do it now.
Really?
Yeah. I remember, for the last few months.
Have you ever tried?
I watched an episode of Oprah a long time ago. I think this is in the air. Now, why do you have to do that?
I don't like her.
You really don't?
No, I'm not a fan.
Honest?
Yeah.
I have to be. No.
About you guys?
I don't think Oprah is the best thing in the world. No, you know what? I don't want to back down. Yeah, Look, I say I don't like Glenn Beck. You know, I hate Glenn Beck's, but someone could go, well, you hate Glenn Beck. Why can't he?
What's your problem with Oprah?
Yeah, but not like we're here. Hold on. Stop. I have to get my thought together. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's someone out there that does just as much good as Oprah, and I don't like them. But I always feel like I've said this before, but I'm curious to hear your answer. That is that your beef? Like Oprah? Like, does a lot of good stuff. Even if there's something like, oh, shut up there, or oh, you wouldn't have done that. But overall, her being, don't you think it's that she really tries to make this world a better place through...
You know what I react to? First of all, I'm being kind of an asshole because I really never watched a lot of Oprah at all. But, and I like that she stood up. I think she stood up to the meat industry at one point. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, that's how Dr.
She
Phil.
She got sued by the
That's
meat
how Dr.
Industry?
Phil became. Dr. Phil was her, I'm probably saying this 50% right, but enough to where I know a little bit of the bulk of how they met. He was her counsel. He was her counsel for dealing with the meat industry, and that's how they met.
He's a lawyer?
I don't know the details of it, but I know I'm positive that's how they met. I'm positive.
Anyway, I think what I react against is any celebrity. When celebrity gets that big, to me, it's just fucked up. Unless you're the Dalai fucking Lama, do you know what I mean? Like to me, when people put this woman Oprah, and they only call her by one name on this pedestal, it rubs me the wrong way so bad. Like I just think any celebrity that is that revered, it's just a fucked up thing about the culture. I mean, I've heard that she does good things. Like I know that she recommends people read, but it just no. I'm serious.
No, but let me ask you this: even if she's a sociopath,
celebrity element of it is so fucked up.
Let's say even like somebody once said, oh, she just does all that to get attention. You know, I thought instead of arguing, it's easier to go, which I don't know if it's necessarily true, but it's so much easier to go, okay, let's say you're right. She only does everything she does to get attention.
I'm not saying that.
No, I know you're not. I've had other people say that. You know, oh, she just does it. She's not a great person. I don't know. And again,
I don't like how she went up and down with the weight.
Can't trust her.
All right, anyway,
you were watching Oprah about lying.
And she had a show about being able to say no. And that's in that area that I remember thinking, you know, when you're meeting, and out of it, you know, it's funny, like you watch a show like that and everybody takes a different, you know, what I took out of it isn't probably what a lot of other people, but took out of that, being able to say no. I even on light things, like you're talking to someone at the UCB one night and they go, hey, you want to go out tomorrow night? You know you can't.
I have a terrible time saying
no. So you go, yeah, call me. I go, stop doing that. Just say no. Mm-hmm. And that to me was, learn how to say no. But here's what also that made me think about this. Talk about lying. If you're going to lie to yourself in this area, aren't you going to lie to yourself in that area? And I hope I don't mention someone else you don't like. And again, I could spend an hour. No, making fun of this next person. I could spend an hour making fun of her. She's a character. She's a parody of herself. And I could spend 3 hours making fun of her, but also there's something that I fucking love about her, Susie Orman, and I'll tell you why.
I've just seen the financial woman infomercials.
I just love that. I'll tell you, maybe I just hear one thing that I love, and then I become blind to the other.
I think one thing that's cool is that, like those kind of people, Susie Orman, it's like fucking take care of yourself is her message, and that's kind of
rely on yourself. To me, what it is most of the time when somebody has a message, they're saying what everybody else has said, but they figure out a way to say it a little different, and that's what makes them amazing. Anything she said has been said before. Oh, live below your means, blah. So what? No. And here's what she said to me. I love a caller called in once, and this I tried to change my life a little when I saw this. It was spending money on a wedding that they didn't have. I've never heard anyone say this before. And she went, "What? Why? You think you're going to have a good marriage? So you're going to start your marriage?" And she got into it on the biggest lie in the world. But after that, you're going to be truthful and honest.
That's a good...
Sounds like, no, you are starting, not with a little lie, with the most monumental lie you can start your life with, and that's overspend on a wedding. And she, in essence, said, she couldn't say this, but I felt it oozing out of her. What fucking right do you have to spend that money? And you know why I like it? that I say it like that because someone out there right now, there's a couple getting married, and one of them doesn't want to do it, and the other one does. Stand your fucking ground.
Oh, one of them doesn't want to get married?
No, one of them wants to have a wedding where they don't go above their means. They don't want to take out a second loan. Yeah, and I know, and it's probably both ways. I know there's women that don't want to do it and do. I'm not saying it's the woman. Mm-hmm. But I love that to say that, to go, what are you fucking doing? And I have a friend that did this 2 years ago. And I remember going, I didn't think about it. They were taking out a second loan on their home. And they were like, and I'm like, yeah. And after that, it's all going to be truthful and honest. Even though you start with the biggest fucking lie in the world. And that's when I started.
Dude, this goes under the category of people pleasing. Like, you know what I mean? That is a sickness, people pleasing. Like, oh, I'm with this person. I better please. I know that Arnie, let's say his fucking name, you know, Jenny is getting married to Arnie. Oh, Arnie's going to want such. His heart is set on, you know, us getting helicoptered in and dropped into the egg-shaped thing.
Stop.
You know what I mean?
Stop. I hope there's someone listening right now that go, stop it, because that's only going to lead to other lies. You're not going to – I love saying it because it's cathartic for me to go, oh, you're going to lie after that? Oh, no, 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 no. It's going to be honest after that. Oh, just we're going to start with
– And I tried not lying one time.
Are you lying?
No, I did. I remember this was when I was,
one time? Are you
no,
a big
no,
liar?
No, I tried to like do a thing. Like I remember this when I was a lawyer, I missed my kid's birthday party because I was sleeping with my boss. And
are you serious?
He made like a birthday wish that
Wait
I would lie
second,
for
a Daniel,
while.
What?
No. And then for like a week, I couldn't tell a lie.
Daniel, this is a show.
Like, really fucked up my work.
Is that
work
the Jim Carrey movie?
Yeah, this is a Jim Carrey movie.
What Jim Carrey movie?
Daniel, you're not being honest with us.
Todd, I almost lost my job. I couldn't lie. I had to go to court. I had a
hold on. This
case.
Is freaking me out. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back. Because Daniel, you're lying. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
My God, I have never seen such a blatant lie.
They sure work hard, don't they, Barney?
Yeah, I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay,
how's about taking a nap?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break. That's it! Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
The Flintstone has been brought to you by Winston. America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Flintstones. Can you believe the Flintstones? That's an ad for cigarettes for Flintstones.
Wow, they even got the Flintstones to do that?
Mm-hmm. And let me tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. I'm going to say something. You go, yeah, you're probably right. Or no, I don't think so. And this, by the way, is I'm telling you this because whenever there's a crossroads in the life and people go, oh, come on. In hindsight, you go, no, that was bad. When they were trying, probably these hippies, to get the Flintstones not to be able to advertise cigarettes, don't you think there were a lot of people that went, oh, come on.
There still are people who were like, come on, let people smoke. Let them fucking smoke. Libertarians, I think.
I'm even for letting people smoke, but having the Flintstones where kids watch it, like that, I think we'd agree, you know. Yeah. But anyway.
Why are you for letting people smoke? Hey, kids.
A lot of kids listen to the show. That's not even a lie. So, Daniel, what we were talking about.
I bring my kids here.
Wait, why are you into. You don't think cigarettes should be banned?
Do I think cigarettes should be banned? I'm not sure, to be honest. I know that I don't want to sound stupid. I don't smoke anymore, and I know it's disgusting, filthy habit.
You used to smoke, didn't you?
I smoke.
You smoke once in a while, right?
No, not anymore.
After
not
you
anymore.
Smoke a joint or something, you'll.
No more. I haven't smoked. I haven't smoked in a year and a half.
Okay.
But when I smoked, talk about having a, you know, keeping my vices under control. Mm. I smoked about a pack and a half a month. And I said not the same much. Thing about cigarettes. I would have smoked more, but it made me nauseous. I only smoked at night. Mm. If I had a drink or I had some – after I smoked pot, it was fun.
Right.
But like in the day, if I saw someone smoke, sometimes it looked really good to me waking up with a cigarette and a cup of coffee. It just looked – but if I did it, ugh. So I never did it. I mean, when I was like 20, I did it once or twice. And but Daniel, what, before we went to the break, yeah, you. Let's be honest here. We're entering into an honest conversation, and that was a movie. That was a.
All right.
What was that called again?
Yes. I guess that was a movie. It was called, I guess, Liar.
Liar, Liar.
Liar. I got confused. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to, you know, lie to you about it. I just, you know, Todd, you know, a lot happened to me in my 20s. I had a crazy life, and I was a pet detective for a while. And do you remember that?
All right, Daniel, this is, your people can smell it. Okay, here's.
I think Daniel's confusing.
I'm going to play you guys something. His name is Andrew. What's his name? The guy from 2020. Is he from 2020?
Art Linkletter? Steve Hawking.
Do you know his name? Just yell it out.
Keith Morrison.
He is on 2020. You know when they do those stories where someone's in prison and then they tell the story?
Yeah.
I know that they're playing it because it's voyeuristic, but they at least have to make pretend that they're not doing a Nancy Drew murder mystery novel. This guy's voice. His voice for real is how I should be doing him as a parody. Like, you should hear me do it.
Keith Morrison?
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me say this.
I'm usually not one. People go, oh, that's offensive or that's rude. I'm always like, oh, shut up. Everyone's offended.
Right,
but this time I go, I cannot believe, and yes, I'm going to overset this up before you hear it, that 1 month into his working on the show and they're retelling the story, that a producer didn't go, no, he can't do that voice. That's a voice of a guy reading a murder mystery. And these are real people, you know? So he does the, in a word, and I'm going to do it and then tell me if I'm exaggerating. You woke up in the middle of the night and here's a woman you loved and there she is laying with 20 stab wounds. What do you do? I'm like, you would never, if I saw you at a party and I found out your sister was murdered, I would go up to you. I wouldn't go, here she is driving home in the middle of the night. You'd go, Todd, what the fuck are you doing, right?
Well, what if you meet that guy and that's how he talks to you? Hey, Todd, you want to meet Keith Morrissey?
Nice to meet you.
What the fuck?
Okay, play a little bit of him.
This guy tackled her from the side, pinned her down. And she, understanding what was coming, said, you'll have to kill me. He said, that can be arranged. But she knew Taekwondo, and she caught him in the nose with her elbow. And he reacted. She wriggled away and ran like the wind out of there.
Play another
one. It just keeps going. It just,
yeah, play another
one. She hit him with an elbow.
I love the true crime shit.
Hold on. Play another one.
How little she knew about the printer and his family. When Gomes later became a child safety advocate, she went to Garrido again to print posters for missing little girls. But not suspicious, really, in spite of the eccentricities. Still, clients like Gomes had no idea that Garrido was a convicted sex offender.
It's interesting you bring this up because this guy and this program, these programs, I actually like. Like, this is my guilty pleasure.
Me too.
Like, I love seeing people get murdered by people they love. I don't know what the fuck that is, but I enjoy it.
Sometimes
I root for the murderer, you know.
But here's what, do you understand? I watch them too, obviously. So, but Mike, I'm always surprised though that they do that voice because it is voyeuristic, but don't they have to pretend that they're doing it for some other reason than they're just taking a real murder and now they're delivering it as it was a book? You know, in the middle of the night, the wind, like that's how you read something that they're not real
people. It's funny listening to it without the visual. You know, because then you could really hear how contrived it is.
Yeah.
But he is good. That guy, because I've been doing a bunch of voiceovers lately for the cartoons, and I don't mean to name drop about what cartoons I've been doing, but I've been doing, you know, animated shows lately, a couple of them. And it's a skill to fucking be able to, like, go and went to the printer again. First of all, it's so hard to take yourself seriously. He went to the printer.
He has control over every syllable.
Todd Glass had a one-man show. And what did that need? Printing.
Eddie Pepitone did pudding videos. Sure, they were funny and they became... I can't even...
It's all drama, though. What he's doing is he's hooking people. You know, he's like, what the fuck? I've never heard printer said like that.
Printer.
My God, what goes on?
Did you take a voiceover class?
No. No. Oh. No. But Let me tell you about that guy's voice. It does hook you into that crap. And even though I like that, I'm so glad that I've been able to wean myself away from those shows, because it's a lot of just fucking horrific, gratuitous, it's just the worst of humanity.
Well, how about the fact that we have reality shows in prison now?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean lock up and all that?
Yeah, lock up.
That's the worst. And yeah,
that is such a low point in a society where we just want to look at the prisoners.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do we do?
And jerk off. Yeah,
hold on.
And
jerk off a lot to lock up. I like lock
MSNBC.
Up Louisville.
Yeah, between Chris Matthews and lock up, I got a bottle of lotion.
Let me give you an example.
Don't interrupt me when Matthews is on.
Well, no, he's yelling at Bachman.
They sensationalize that where they catch to catch a predator. And you might go, what you might go, what
how
the
about
fuck
that
are you
guy getting
about?
Caught? Do you know,
they sensationalize that so much. So here's anything that can get a predator off the street. Obviously, it's a good thing. But taunting them and going, what were you going to do if I wasn't here? I was going to fuck the girl. That's what I was going to do. Like, just you. So once they do that, I literally, how sensational does it have to be for me to start rooting and feeling bad?
I agree.
And you know what? My friend that's a cop said something very interesting about that. He made me feel like I wasn't crazy.
What did
he
say?
No, you're right. He goes, there's a rule amongst good cops that if you're dealing with someone that's just a person on the street, you don't you're not the judge. It's our job to get them. And there's other cops that love to read them. What are you doing on drugs? What are you doing here? He goes, I don't. He goes, there's a few reasons I don't. Sometimes they live in my community. They'll remember the way I treated them if I ever see them out with my kids. And they'll go, you know,
that's
that cop.
That's why I don't fuck the people in the institution where my mommy is.
But anyway, back to the meat of it was.
Especially on the elevator. You never fuck someone on an elevator in an institution.
Why?
It's only
Big
three floor. Floors.
It's only three floors.
I forget what I was talking about.
You were talking about the good cop, and it sounds good.
No. Saying that when what's his name on To Catch a Predator? What's his name?
Chris Hansen.
It's like, yeah, you got him, but you don't have to keep, like, you know, it's not helping. Hey, if doing that to them helps, then keep doing it.
You
but
know
it
what
doesn't.
I realize in my sick brain? That I think we all have these sicknesses to greater or lesser extents. Like, yeah, I want to fuck that 8-year-old child. Who doesn't? You know what
I
mean?
Well, Eddie, no, I don't.
Am I being too honest now? I thought this was a show about honesty. No, but I'm saying that the good cops, I think, realize that, you know, you shouldn't fucking lord it over someone that we got you. You're an asshole.
It perpetuates
a cycle of hate, a cycle of violence.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're saying that, because for a while I was thinking,
that cop sounds like a white. I'm glad there are cops like that.
Well, let me tell you something. I had an interesting conversation with my friend that's a cop once. He goes, I said I was defending you amongst some of my friends, and I said that, you know, most cops are good cops. I mean, like,
are they?
75% of cops are good. And he went, oh, Tom. It's much higher than that. So after a 20-minute conversation, we came up with this. I wasn't explaining myself right. I said, John, when I say a bad cop, I don't mean a bad cop that would throw a gun into a scene. Not that type of bad cop, but a Napoleon complex that gives the force a bad name. I said they're the ones that make the cops have a bad reputation. And I said, now how many of those do you think are in the force? And you know what? So he wasn't just fucking with me. He goes, oh, I go, John, and from someone who is, I don't want to say pro cop, but I know that there are good cops, and he knows it. He didn't, you know, and we're friends. He didn't bullshit with me. I go, John, be honest. How many cops, and don't fucking play games with me. You know, you're good. How many cops are as good as you? And he went, not that many. He goes, yeah, because, and I've seen him
changed.
Well, because he thought I was saying, you know, bad cops meaning a cop. You might get a guy who's a Napoleon complex, but he wouldn't plant a gun or he wouldn't do something that. But the Napoleon guys, the guys that are out there on the force that have complexes, they're where the force gets a bad name. I watch him deal with situations where he pulls somebody over, and let's say he pulls over a black person. And you know what? Maybe
well,
he
I'm
says.
I'm not a fan of that, but go ahead. of those folks.
He says maybe they might have a chip on their shoulder. He goes, in all fairness, because you know what? They've probably been pulled over by prejudiced cops before. He goes, yeah, so I try to be decent. And I watch him do it. He's not just saying it. I watch him.
How do you watch? You ride along?
I do ride-alongs, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you have a tag? Like, hello, no. My name is Todd. I'm just a comic, it says. No, just a comic. Don't shoot.
Well, it's funny.
He's got his whole thing. Just a comic.
It's an improv t-shirt.
It's funny you say that because out of all the ride-alongs I've ever done, I never have to wear anything that says ride-along. I just know what to wear to sort of look like a cop. Like, I always try to wear, like, a cop outfit. You know, like, maybe jeans and sneaks. Like,
boy,
what would
it sounds like
cover?
Somebody here has a bit of let's play dress-up tonight.
So, listen. But the last time I did one, there's a guy on Tosh.0 that is also a reserve officer, which means he's a cop once a week. He does it for free. He has to go through the academy, but once a week he does it for free. And a lot of the forces, they need those reserve cops. So I did a ride along with him. I get to the station, and he wants me to put this button on that says ride along. I ain't fucking wearing a ride along button. So once we got in the car, I said, do I have to wear this? He goes, no. I'm like, I look like a loser.
I had a run in with some cops this weekend.
You did?
Well, hold on one second. I want to make sure. Hold on one second. We had the thing. What were we talking about? The cops? Oh, yeah. Let me just finish my thought. So he pulls people over, and he's dealing with it. You know, dealing with people, like dealing with who they are, and he gets it all calm, then everybody's good, and you can tell the people are respecting him and he's respecting them, and then they go, you know, this unit's going to back you up, I thought they never show this on a cop show. He's like, oh fuck. I'm like,
oh,
why?
He knew the unit?
He knew the guy was backing him up was going to, he goes, well, this guy will have a shit storm going on here in 1 minute, something that I just calmed down. So that's when he said to me, you're right, he goes, there are other cops that are as good as me, but there's a lot of cops out there that, that have,
and by the way, that's the most important thing.
It's absolutely it's the reason that decent people.
I find New York cops are better than L.A. cops. That's just a generalization. You know, I lived in New York. I've lived here. Cops in New York so much easygoing. When a fucking California Highway Patrol pulls me over, which I've had the glorious thing now a few times, I'm never happy about it. I'm never happy.
Well, are you not happy about it right away, right out of the gate? You fucking asshole. All right, sir.
No, a lot of them have like a little bit of an attitude, and they don't even have to say a word.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Did you ever have to call the police because you thought somebody was like in your yard or anything?
Did I ever have to call the police? Yeah, I've called the police a couple times on my girlfriend who just, she's always taking shots at me with scissors, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's a good relationship, but it's also a tempestuous one, and the police need to be involved.
Do you think?
Hey, if it's worth it, you know.
Do you think it's worth it?
You already paid for the police.
Remember when somebody used to make crank phone calls to women? Like, and it was this the way women were depicted in movies, or do you think really women let themselves be more helpless back then when they would do the old, you know, like the guy would call up and be like, you know, like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hello. I'm all, you know, come over there and fuck you.
What? No.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, my cock's in my hands.
Please stop. Please stop.
I'm going to fuck you. Yeah, what are your tits? Let me see them.
You better stop.
I'm jerking off in your window right now, you fucking old
whore. That's horrible. I cannot deal with this. I'm just a clerk.
Eddie, I'm so glad you did exactly. Did they do that in real life? Because today, any sane woman that gets that call, here's how it goes down. You ready?
Yeah, I'm going to come over there. I'm staring at you. Click.
You're 646-281-6952.
Yeah, boy, did that put an end to it. You got to buy.
So. Well, now you have a private phone, though. If you have a private line, you could crank all the time, and I love it.
Because you put it. The point is, you can still make crank phone calls. But even if you know, but the thing is, women, no well minded woman is going to make herself a victim. She hears the thing click. She doesn't go, stop it. You who are you? Who is this? Like, shut. Did women used to, what's your guess? Was that something that they were depicted in movies?
I think they were depicted in movies
as being like, helpless. And
yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, that's a male's fantasy. You know that they're totally fucking helpless. You know.
Hey, you want to fuck with somebody? You call them up with a crank phone call that's positive. like you ready? Like, how would you deal with this? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Can you have any? Can
Am
we?
Am I a woman or a man?
You'll be a woman. Or what do you want to be?
I'd be a woman again.
Hey, if you had to answer the phone, I know this is a weird scenario. Whatever the reason is, if you can't answer the phone like a woman, you're going to get fucking killed. This person that's calling, I haven't really thought it through, but the gist of it is you've got to answer the phone like a woman. And if you don't, he knows something's up and he's going to come in and kill you.
In other words,
right now, go
like
hello.
My life depends on
this guy thinking
convincing you're, this guy I'm a woman.
You
okay.
have his, yeah, you yeah, have yeah. a woman in there. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Put her on the phone.
Okay.
And you have to answer the phone okay. right now. He's going, hello.
Hi.
Is this Sharon?
Yes.
That's, what do you think?
Yes, it's Sharon.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Nah.
No. Yes, it's Sharon.
It's a, this...
Hi, I'm Sharon. I work in a bookstore. Hi.
Well, that's. I like how you think. Yes, this is Sharon. I work. This is Sharon. I work in a flower shop.
Well, no, what, hi, my course. Name is Sharon.
Okay, so
hi,
I'm going to call
Sharon.
You.
Hi. I think you just.
Isn't this working?
Hello.
Sharon. Hi, I'm
Hello.
Sharon.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
Let me hear it again.
Hello.
What are you, Tootsie?
No, you just go. I have a cold.
Oh, that's that can work.
Hello, I'm sorry. I have a cold.
How are you?
I love your voice. Is this Brenda Vaccaro?
And I like to make references from 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So hold on. Let me call you right now. This is a positive crank phone call.
Okay.
What, you want to be a guy?
I'll be
or
a
girl?
Guy. I'll be a guy.
Go ahead, go ahead. It's ringing. The phone's ringing.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. I'm Who's this?
Don't worry who it is.
Who is this?
Shut the fuck up. I'm going to come over to your yard, and I'm going to start cleaning up your yard.
My yard's clean,
Shut
sir.
The fuck up, you pile of shit, and then I'm going to come over to your house and repave your driveway. I'm going to fix up those flower beds, you dumb fuck.
What the fuck?
Shut the fuck up. You shut your fucking mouth. Your house. I'm going to come over to your house. I'm going to wash your car, start cleaning up your yard. You shut up, you fucking piece of shit.
How much will I owe you for this?
I'm not going to take a penny, you dumb fuck.
Put the dog away.
Then I'm going to come over.
All right, this bit's over. Do your theme. There, we get out of the bit thing. What is it? We're what? The what? We're the
We're bailout. Thank you very much, folks. Right, that well, bit went as long as it could.
That bit went a lot shorter than it could have.
Can I tell you, Brian Regan? I love Brian Regan.
I know
Regan.
You do.
We have to go for the wrap up here. God, the shows fly by. Will not.
Are we done?
No.
Because I barely talked about mental illness here.
Well, we're gonna go to the after show okay. in a second. But I love Brian Regan. Who doesn't? But I don't. Play this message. He's getting me a little weirded out here.
Brian.
He wants to do the podcast, and I'm not really having any.
Would that be too much for you?
Well, go ahead, play it.
Todd Glass. Brian Regan, again. This isn't even phone tag. Phone tag is like when two people are participating, you know, and going back and forth. This is a one-way phone tag. Listen, if you don't want me to do the podcast, just, I don't know, let me know that rather than stringing me out. You know I want to do it.
It's weird.
Is he being serious?
Clear. I don't know how many phone calls in a row this is.
Sounds like he is.
Yeah.
Do you want me to beg? Is that the way you work?
I feel bad.
Do you want me to send a video of me on my knees begging to do the podcast?
It's sad.
You want me to pay you? You want me to send you a check?
It's amazing that you have such a great comic in this position.
I didn't think of that.
All right. I guess this is the last time I'll try. I'm begging you. Oh, I want to do your podcast. Please call me back.
I think I'm going to have him do it.
Brian Regan.
One thing you don't have to.
Let him wait. Let him wait.
Bye.
I just get uncomfortable with like celebrities.
Why do you think he wants to do it?
I think he might. I mean, I got one message from John Hamm, which will play on Thursday or next week.
Oh, is he upset too?
He's freaking me out too.
Does he want to do it?
Yes. And I remember you said about no. Hey, by the way, let me rip through a few things here real quick. Katie, with the weather, do we have a for this Friday and Saturday? Do we have a jingle for that?
It's been beautiful here in LA.
Well, we give the weather for Friday and Saturday.
It's only been 100, 120.
And now here's Katie with the weather for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sound more like a girl.
What do you got?
Friday, we have a high of 86 and a low of 59.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, a high of 83.
Low of 59?
Yeah.
It's going to get that cold?
That's what it says.
All right.
Jesus.
Saturday, we have a high of 83 and a low of 58. And Sunday, a high of 84 and a low of 58.
All right. Are you still dating the same girl?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been dating?
A long time now. 6 years?
6 years.
We just had our 6-year thing.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, is it you fucked that shit?
Sweet the
sound. What an amazing place to come from. This is my favorite song, by the way. This is what I do the treadmill to. Like an hour. I just loop it. Amazing Grace.
And you cover
on the treadmill
a quarter of a mile.
So you run. Let's make pretend I'm running right now. And it helps you...
For an hour, I only listen to Amazing Grace. I power walk. I don't run. I have very short shorts that say Eddie on the back, and I just power walk. I was blind, but now... Oh, because people behind me, I want them to know.
All right. Oh, my God, Eddie. I'm so glad. by the way... I guess I got one more thing. It's a suggestion. I was looking through some old photo pictures, and I found if you want to get yourself emotionally charged, like
before
sometimes it's good to cry. No, I don't. I would just do this if you're sitting around the house one night.
Okay.
I don't even know why this is good or bad. But,
can I ask you a question about comedy for a second? Do you try to get yourself emotionally charged for a set, you, Daniel? Do you try to do that sometimes? Like listen to a piece of music that pumps you up or anything like that before a set?
Yeah, and I wish I did it more, but I seem to do it with important sets.
Yeah.
I treat them separately.
You really, like, you
Yeah, I'll listen
really...
to stuff that'll, like, give me confidence.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
You, Todd?
No, that's a great question, and I've known people that have listened to a certain song, but usually I just have a Vicodin, some pot, and a few drinks.
And it's very controlled because it isn't
and
the
I
day.
And I got it all under control, yeah. Do you?
You know what? I never remember to, but when I do remember to, it helps me. Like I say, oh yeah, like I just heard that piece of music, and it inspires me to be an artist. Because I think what we do ultimately is we're trying to be art, like not just go up there, tell a fucking few jokes, but really go up there and try to connect with people and fucking make them deeply laugh. And sometimes I find rock, some really good rock music. Would help me.
I told somebody once, and I think this is in the area of what you're talking about. I don't do it all the time.
I love the Chipmunks before I go on. I just hear, and then I'm like, fucking A, baby.
I'm an artist.
I like sometimes if I'm, sometimes I just have really great music to be on the treadmill with. It gets me going. And other times, a good cry. Man, it's good. So I'll listen to a song that means something to me.
I can't manufacture a cry, though.
No?
You can?
Yeah.
I mean, you're really that in touch with your emotions, huh?
Well, I can't do it if I was in a movie
pussy!
Or a sitcom.
Pussy!
You're a pussy. I'm going to...
So anyway, if you get an old photo album, if you want to have a good cry, and here's the thing: some crying is obviously depresses you. Sometimes a cry can lead to a happier day because it just puts you in touch with what's important.
I cry when I'm happy. Is that bad?
No, that's good. Crying is good.
Crying is good in general.
So get a photo album. Maybe it goes back to pictures of when you were little. I did this by accident once, and I went, "Oh, this is like a better way to look at pictures and play this song and look at pictures."
Better not be Simon and Garfunkel memories or...
No. I know it's going to sound cheesy, but Eddie...
It sounds horrible.
Will you try it and tell me if it didn't work?
Let me hear this.
It's a Paul Anka
Eddie,
song.
We have some pictures of your family here we'd like to show you.
Look up on this big screen. That's your mom being brought into an institution. No, look at it.
There's the trumpet guy behind her.
There's the Oh, my God, trumpet guy looks... I thought he'd be older. No, is this going to depress you?
Where did you get these pictures?
Oh, is this going to depress you?
On MySpace.
Okay, there's your mom getting electroshock therapy.
Mommy.
Oh, I feel like, Eddie, I didn't know. Should we shut it off?
No. I'm ready to perform now.
All right. Play it without words. I'm starting to reminisce about things as we go to our after show right now. I want to start reminiscing about things. Don't wait forever. Remember when you came in here tonight? How long ago did that seem
music,
like?
This music, this crushes me,
Eddie,
in a bad way. What?
I want you to talk about what happened tonight. Remember, we came in here. How long ago was that? You think you got here?
An hour and a half.
And we got in here, and we all got our coffees.
Mm.
And then you told the story about the trumpet. Those were fun hours.
Remember you said Todd's a pothead, and then I said save it for the air.
Yes, I remember.
That was fun.
I wish we had slides of that. Wouldn't that be funny that guys who were so sentimental, every hour and a half they show shit that happened an hour and a half ago. like they've already covered everything. But every hour and a half, they're like, oh, check this out. This is when you came into the dealership here. Well, look at this.
Do you know what's funny? Is that I wanted to have
after a car sale.
I love that. I wanted to have people over to my house for dinner and then have someone taking pictures, but no one knows why. And at the end of the night, I go into the yard, and up on a big screen, I go, what a night we had.
By the way, I bet some people, you know, in this age with all the digital shit, people do that.
No, you could do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
All right, we'll fade the music out. There's a lot of stuff we didn't get to. Chris Hardwick is next week, right? I think there's any chance he'll do a Tom Jones song for me. He plays the guitar and sings. He should do it. You know him.
We could ask him.
Well, I'll try it behind my back. All right, so that's it. We're going to do the after show, and then I have a lot of fun, silly stuff for the after show. Mm. I want to get... You asked me. We'll talk about it on the after show. All right, so Eddie, that was fun.
Yeah, thank you. I had a lot of fun and stimulating. I like good conversation.
I know this seems, most people that are listening to this know who you are. I would imagine a lot of the people know who you are. Mm-hmm. But for anybody that doesn't, and I always say this, it's always weird for me to, I don't know why, like over compliment someone to them. But you know what? It's okay. Maybe we shouldn't be shy about that. I saw your show at the Improv Lab, and let me tell you something. I that type of joy is hard to get out of somebody. I know people can make me laugh pretty hard. That's not what you did. That was fucking past that. It was like I was on the ground choking.
I think we have a very similar sense of what is fucking funny. Do you agree with that?
I think that you have this ability to go down and make rights and lefts to where the best part of when I watch your show is when I get lost, not always, and then I remember, I go, oh my God, he's still the guy up in front of the arc light talking to the crowd.
By the way, that's how I like to do stand-up now, and I'm getting more confidence in that, is just present a character like, oh, well, folks, here's the character. Here's this guy who stands in front of the screen at the Arc Light Theater in L.A. and just fucking find a nice vein.
Is that bad if I asked you to do it? Right now? Yes.
I could try.
You said the guys go in front of the arc light. Oh, we'll do it on the after show. Let's do it on the after show. I'd love you to do it up there. You wouldn't do it on our stage, would you? Come on, we'll put our chairs.
I didn't even notice that you have a stage.
We'll all put our chairs around there. Oh, what I love if you did that.
Are you serious?
I have a nervous breakdown. Yes.
Will we tape it?
Of course. Well, we'll video it a little but mostly I just want it for me, and I'm lying about the videoing right now. All right,
for the show. We'll do it for the show.
Let's do the Tom Jones. Take us into this little break before we do our after show, the Tom Jones song. You're going to love this, Eddie.
Tom Jones.
I did. I have. All right, we'll be right back with our after show.
God,
oh, no, you didn't. Not this one. Stop it. The one that we did, my friend Lynn did.
It's not unusual?
Yeah, but he did a different version. Hmm. All right, so we're done. Thank you. And then we'll come back for the after show. Are you okay for the after show?
Yeah.
You got somewhere to be?
Yeah.
I love saying we'll take a break, and I really like to give it my all. You ready? And we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, the Todd Glass Show is on, so go crazy and busy and buy some boot and baddie. Who's on the scene from boots and bow? Who's on pow, 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 pow? Phone calls all day.
The after show.
Folks, he only does this 3 to 4 times a week. Todd Glass!
It's the after show. You like to sing along?
I love to sing.
You do? I'll try to sing along with this then.
I'm happy.
Happy!
Happy.
You don't have to know the word. The street on a sunny day. Hubba, 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 hubba. Hubba, 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 hubba. Can't even do the hubba hubbas. Happy boy.
Happy boy.
Happy boy. Ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. Hubba, 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 hubba.
Put his guts in a box and put him in a drawer.
Hubba, 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 hubba. My mom. She wrote it. My dad sings it. They tour. Good when things are going your way.
Hey, hey.
Why does this bring me so much joy? Oh, wait. And Daniel, it's doing nothing for you at all.
I like it, but I can't hear it because you keep...
What are you looking at?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
I really like this because it's so silly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lighten up a little.
Hold on, stop this song for 1 second. I want to make pretend you're in a movie right mm-hmm. now, and I want to see what you would do. Is you have to like that song as much as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play it again, and I want to see. Like, you're someone, that's your direction. You're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know that famous Todd Glass scene where he has his radio show? Like, I'm already huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're making a movie about my life, and it's mm-hmm. the scene, and he's doing Hubba Hubba Hubba.
Mm-hmm.
Could you act like you... I thought... anyway, enough of that. Hi, we're back. This is Todd Glass.
Hello, my name is Billy.
Billy, how old are you?
I'm 11.
And you're calling into the show. You had a question for us?
Yes, my question is, how come I can't drink vodka yet?
Well, how old are you?
I'm 11. But my parents are on they drink vodka all the time. We're in Russia now.
Oh, you guys live in Russia?
We're in Russia.
Oh, I wish I had the phone.
It's cold in Russia. Cold. It's so cold. But we love salmon. And we love Stalin.
Oh, salmon and Stalin?
And we love chess. But my parents are both drinking vodka and I want to drink it. And they say, no, little schmutzkin.
Well, maybe when you get older. What's your name again?
Billy.
Well, when you get older, Billy, you could drink. But now it's not a good idea. It's not so...
Kalashnikov!
Boo.
That's...
What does that mean? Hi, my
name is Tom. I'm calling from Idaho.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Listen, I'm a survivalist.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That means I survive at all costs,
mm-hmm.
and I stockpile tuna
mm-hmm.
and guns.
Is that all you need to survive?
Can I tell you what I want to do? I want to get this phone thing on your mic the next time you're here and let you just keep making calls throughout the show. Because if you add that phone effect to it, it just, to me, it makes it hilarious.
Hello, my name is Barbara, and I'm calling from a nightgown. I live inside an airy, beautiful nightgown. Silk, red silk.
What's your name again?
Barbara.
And you Barbara, just you live inside the
well, can
the
I ask you a question?
I sure do, boy.
Oh, can I ask you a question? What would be the difference of wearing a nightgown or you saying you're living inside of it? Is it a mental state?
Yeah, it is a mental state, don't you think? Pour me another drink, Timmy.
Oh, you want another drink?
And I have a bartender here.
It's all right.
I'm surrounded by these women who just have these women in film noir. I love film noir.
There you go.
Don't piss on me. Pour me a drink.
No. Would you like, would you
that
like
another? That sounded like someone was pissing on Barbara.
Would you like another drink?
There you go, Barbara.
Thank you.
Would you like a beer, Barbara?
No, a lady who lives in a nightgown doesn't have a beer.
Well, I'm going to give you a beer, and you're going to
have one anyway.
Oh,
how's that feel?
That does sound good.
Ooh, Barbara, you really drank that down.
Hey, I don't even know,
by the way, mm-hmm. how you can be in this headspace where I'm at. Like, I'm loving this. It's like high candy for me.
Yeah.
But you're not high.
No.
That'll never cease to amaze me.
No, but I smoke.
Did I say that right?
I smoked for 26 years.
So he
is high. Yeah. He'll always be high.
Well, listen, I'm in a nightgown. I have a question about clocks.
Go ahead.
Well, I can't fix this beautiful Charlie Brown clock I was given a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a Charlie Brown clock, mm-hmm. and it rings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it
did you hang it inside your nightgown?
Yeah, because you live in there.
It's new.
Hey, do you like decorate your nightgown inside? Mm-hmm. Like, since it's your house?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? No, you know what I did? What I don't want to do. I was enjoying it, and I went outside worrying other people. But you know what? Fuck them. If you're listening to the podcast right now, and I don't say this in any disrespect because nothing makes – I want to please people. But mm-hmm. if you're listening right now and you're going, what are they doing? That's your time to not fucking listen anymore because I'll tell you what we're doing. What we just did, I want to do more of that. And we'll take mm-hmm. a break. We'll be right back. I'm just kidding.
I like that. Oh, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Can we do that DJ thing where like in the old days when they would talk into songs? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know when they were talking through the before there's words?
Mm-hmm.
You think you want to give it a shot? Let's see.
Yeah, let me hear.
Should we all do the same one?
Let me hear you say, do it.
Oh, I honestly think 8:45, 8:45, 9:15, and we hope you like it. We're going to hear some Elvis doing Sweet Caroline. Oh, it's Sinatra. Do it again. Do it again.
That's nice.
Can you turn it up so I can hear it in my ears a little more, please, Katie? 8:45, 8:45. Don't forget tomorrow. It's a holiday. Enjoy it, everybody. Here's Sinatra.
Yeah,
it's close.
Yeah, yeah. That's not bad.
It gives it a great momentum. Like, you know, as soon
do it again. Let's see if you can do it.
If I can do it,
same song.
Remember, folks, the bomb was dropped, so we only have a couple of minutes to live. That nuclear radiation. Here's Sinatra for you to go out on. Sweet Caroline. Good night.
Good times never seem so good.
Like, that would be, that
Eddie,
would be,
I love you.
Like, a DJ would be a DJ to the end. Like, if there was the nuclear bomb drop, you'd be like, well, it looks like it's all over, folks. But,
hold on, do it again. Do it again. Hold on. Go. Do it again.
Well, folks, that was the big one. 7 nuclear weapons dropped on L.A. But how about enjoying Sweet Caroline just before the radiation Caroline, takes you out?
Good times never seem so good.
Don't you think a DJ would be, like, that would be a good DJ. Like, if there was hiring after the whole apocalyptical thing, he would be,
yeah,
he would
like, be, he'd be like, all right, can you roll it?
Katie.
All right, you heard it, you heard it, folks. No more ozone and all the ocean life is dead. Here's some Sinatra.
Makes it like it's all right.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Hey, has anybody ever talked about this? You know when you have a thing, you think of something, you guys, any comic talked about it? The BBC, like when they talk about things, it makes it seem like it's not as bad. Children are starving in the streets all over Africa. No
that's
money has
point.
Been sent.
The British accent.
And it goes, okay, they well, can say it still anything. Sounds. Is that, oh, yes,
7
that's been done.
Children. Yeah.
That's been done. No, I forget that.
I was just going to do a version. 7 children raped today, but all of them had cocktails beforehand.
You know, you should say that and then say, we'll be right back. Oh, hold on. So, wait. Take a deep breath. I'm talking to the listeners. Do another song. Do the next song. I want to try it one more time. Just do one more round. Okay, ready? Go ahead. I don't like this one. Do the next one.
Was that? Which one was that?
You can, that. Is that play that again. Go back to the other one.
Was that In Excess?
Go back to
I
the second one.
I love that In Excess.
Crank it up. Maybe I didn't have it loud enough.
I love him. He hung himself, that fella.
Hey, you all remember this guy. He hung himself, but don't be depressed because this is a happy song. You remember it. I remember it from high school. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, and you are about to enjoy. Oh, what the fuck? It's a lot to say.
Oh, it's not
blue and you don't know where to
oh,
go.
Okay.
To.
Oh, this is a great one.
Where fashion sits. Good.
Hey, folks.
Bing, bong, bing, bing, bing. Do, 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 and bing, bong, bong, bong.
Hey, folks, it's Eddie Pepitone. My wife just took her life. And why don't you enjoy this while I go deal with some personal problems. Put on the ritz.
Pooper scooper. All right, let's do the next one. I'll try. That was too long. The next DJ song.
Do you?
I do it in my car.
Oh, you do?
Do this game.
Oh, you do this game in your car? By alone?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Imagine putting somebody else through this. 8:45, 8:45.
I would like it. I'd like
it. Yeah, right now you're putting about 30,000 people through it.
I know, but
those are good numbers.
Oh, yeah. That's true. What do we have? Nothing?
Margaret, it's the part of the show where Glass does the lead into the songs. Crank it, will you? Imagine a guy working in his garden, and he's just got huge speakers in the garden, and this is his favorite part of the show. This is his favorite part of the show. Just picture him. He's in Massachusetts, just beautiful little garden, but he's got like fucking huge like Marshall amps that he hooks up to an iPod, and he's like, Margaret! But his wife has the control in the kitchen. Really crank it when Glass does the lead into the songs. I just love it. And he's like just planning.
And then he hears this. Okay, go ahead. He hears this over his whole house.
And his neighbor's like, well, what are you listening to, Fred?
It's 8:45, 8:45. We'll be right back. What? You know what? That makes me realize that maybe I shouldn't do it. Because you're right. Who is? Well, no, it was fun. I hope it was. See what happens when I smoke?
Why? You get conflicted. You become a man at war. Man at war! That was a horse. Great horse, man at war.
I have something for you. I've always wanted to. Do me a favor. Just indulge me here. Get that I Gotta Be Me music. Is that on there anywhere? I want to see something. I think I could sing a little. I want to see. Can you sing? Try to sing. Go ahead, give him a little bit. You'll know. You'll go ahead.
I like to sing.
Try to see what you can do. If you had to sing for this, you know. Whether I'm Right or whatever you make up.
Whether I'm right or what? Fight! Fire! There's a fire, Bob!
Wait, what is it?
Somebody's on fire because of your callousness. That would be a great karaoke, by the way. Instead, they should have songs like that. And instead of karaoke, people have to come up with horrific situations during the music being played. Like, oh, my God, the dog.
Go ahead, Katie, you got to. So you go up to do karaoke, but that's just background music. And then you do this.
My wife took her life! My wife! And then everybody in the bar is just listening to him, really loving it. Oh, I love this guy. He's a ringer.
Could it almost be like a singer? Could it almost be like, Eddie, be a singer and this band starts playing, but he can't take it anymore and he's just yelling at the crowd, but the band never stops. Like, they're still doing his instrumental music. Start it from the beginning.
You do that one first.
Oh, you want me to do that?
Yeah, and then I'll do one.
His band kicks up. Ladies and gentlemen...
I'd like to do a song that was originally done by Mr. Sammy Davis Jr. Bring it down, guys. Bring it down. What the fuck is going on? Night after night I come out here for you fucking pricks.
I love this.
Go fuck yourself,
lady. Oh, here are my panties. Here are my panties.
Drop dead. You think I want to sing in a fucking casino a song that I didn't even write? This is not where I thought I'd be.
I'm so wet.
Fuck yourself, you cunts.
More.
More.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong,
I don't care if this is not the song I asked for.
Did you ever hear that? Who was it yelling at his band? Paul Anka yelling at his band.
For
real?
Yeah.
It's like somebody recorded it.
But you know what? It doesn't make me not like Paul Anka. He's yelling. He's right. If you tell your band, I know this seems crazy, but I listened to that and I thought it didn't make me not like him because he's yelling at them for, like, they're all supposed to wear black shirts and they don't wear black shirts. So he's going, what the fuck? Sort of something about it. He goes, if I tell you to wear a black, whose name is out there in that sign? My fucking name.
It sounds a little egomaniacal.
I know, but I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, because we like to hear people breaking down.
Well, I like to people. You know what? I don't like when people don't do their job.
Can I ask you this? And honestly, I don't have a position here. I'm really asking. Say you have a show, right? It's the Eddie Pepitone show, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have this sketch, and it's funny to you that everybody wears yellow T-shirts. It doesn't matter
why. And if some fuckhead didn't have yellow one.
And some fuckhead is wearing a bright red one. And he goes, come on, it's the same.
No, I wouldn't like that.
No, you'd go, it's my fucking name, and it's a yellow fucking T-shirt.
Here's what I think the answer to that is. I think it's a slippery slope, so I agree with you. Even though I listen to this Paul Anka thing, and I go, he's not yelling at him for missing a note. People are human, and if it was yelling at him for missing a note, I go, well. But he's yelling at him for, it seems like, for some simple rules that, because I bet he's a nice guy, that they push him and they take advantage. And it's funny, I know nothing about music, but at one point he goes, you hear him do this. When I slice like a knife. And you know, let me ask you a question, guys, and you can answer me. With the checks I give you, did one of them ever once bounce?
One.
No.
One did.
What do you When?
It went last Thanksgiving.
I was going through a rough month, you prick.
Well, my kid has a short leg. You know, one of the legs is shorter. And so when Thanksgiving didn't happen, everybody was sad, you know.
One guy goes, actually, once.
One time, I asked you not to bring that up.
Okay, so hold on. So,
there was the other time where you fucked my wife.
I have
walked in on you.
That's kind of like a check bouncing.
It certainly hurt. It certainly fucked up my life. I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Anka.
I have a good topic.
Oh yeah,
you ready?
All by myself, all alone.
Hey, by the way, do you like karaoke?
No,
I hate it.
No, I would. I would.
Seems like you like.
Well, if I was around, if I was, you know, with nobody around. I know I keep saying that, and then I'm making people listen to this. Like, if I was by myself, I would do this. Help me make it through the night. But no, I don't like karaoke. In isolated situations, maybe. You know, have I been somewhere where somebody goes up and they're singing? And you're like, oh, that's actually fun. But then the next person,
can you sing?
Me, no.
I'm not a very good singer.
Yeah, maybe that's why I got embarrassed. Like karaoke.
You think so? I just find it so annoying
to listen to these people fucking sing in bars and shit. Like, when I first came to L.A., everybody was like, you got to go to the Brass Monkey. You got to – people were dragging me to karaoke when I first got here. And I was like, I don't like this shit. It's fucking terrible. Even though I did see Ron Perlman. And this makes me
– Ron Perlman. Who is that?
He Ralph's? Did the hell – what do they call it? The Helsing – Von Helsing movies?
Hellboy. And he's in Sons of Anarchy.
And he's a wild-looking dude. He's like this big fucking head. He's got a beautiful voice. And he sang some Sinatra. And that even pisses me off more. Like some celebrity singing Sinatra well. Like, fuck. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
I have a song we did last week.
I don't think I do.
I do. I think. I have a song that you could sing. We did it last week. And I'm being serious. Henry Phillips even agreed. Because there's people that go to karaoke bars and they bring their own microphone. And they bring their seat.
That's pathetic, by the way.
That is sad. One time we were at a karaoke bar and we were cracking up at our friends singing because it was so bad. This is 20 years ago. Right. And this guy next to us goes, oh, why don't you try encouraging your friends? Not right. Welcome to Dimples, the place in the valley.
Dimples is another place.
Yeah. So, but we found if you went into a karaoke place and you gave them, you said, I have a CD, I'd like to do it. It's a Middle Eastern. Is this, what do we agree that this was?
Native American song.
If people, I don't think it's disrespectful. And if it is, who gives a fuck? How do you like that? I'm having some balls. Mm. So, you go up and you do the song and then I don't think anyone in the room, if you didn't, you go, all right, I'd like to sing a song. Give it a name. Give me like a, so it sounds real. What would I call it?
The Rainy Night.
This is called A Rainy Night.
White Fang Run, White Fang Run into Coyote, Coyote running water, still a Simon. We were murdered by white man, murdered by white man, murdered by white man. Boogie doogie whoosh and a bing bang boom, boogie boogie boom and a sock along. Alcoholism, smallpox, then just outright being murdered. Now we own some casinos. Aye, 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 aye.
All right, that was Rainy Night.
Eddie, I'm glad that you...
Hello, I'm with the L.A. Racist Department. Can I have a word?
The L.A. Racist Department. The government growth is just really out of control.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you something? And I know the person. I'm gonna go out on a limb. This is one of the things I'm gonna want to edit. Such a dumb thing, but
yeah. I hope you don't edit the Indian song because
are you kidding me?
That did him.
No, that's good. Be the guy. He's in his garden. He's got his
and he's listening. To
No. And this is about to come on. And what would he say to his wife if he goes? We're gonna Eddie Pepitone and Todd. We do it like we have a show, and at the end of each show, we do that. And he knows it's coming up because it's five of, and that's when we do our song. Uh-huh. What does he say to his wife because he doesn't hear the music? And she's in the house.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Margaret, I can't hear the tremendous comment.
Can I make a suggestion? This bit is so funny. I need you to move away from the mic a little because there's nothing like hearing that person like when they're in the other room.
Margaret, I can't believe you're not going to turn up the Glass Pepitone Indian song. How many times do I have to tell you that this finally sheds some light on the relations we had with the Native Americans? We've been in the dark since who knows how long, and then these two brilliant comedians, they come along and they shed light on Indian relations, and you won't turn it fucking up. Turn it up!
All right, Al, I will.
Coyote run.
All right, that's enough.
Coyote run.
Oh.
We use every part of the animal.
Guess what?
Except we're drunk. Because
it's time for an episode of The Worst Guesser in the World. Do we have that jingle anywhere? We'll roll it in. This is The Worst Guesser in the World, and you'll be... Do you know who you're going to be guessing?
Yeah.
You really got to get... Can I give you direction? Like, I'll be giving one here. The clue, getting mad. You're getting really mad at him because he is not... You know, you're getting pissed off because he's a fucking idiot in this bit. Mm-hmm. In this bit, he's got to be a fucking idiot.
Okay.
Well, he's not even listening.
So okay. I'm giving the clues, right?
Okay. Yeah, you're trying... Yeah, you can play... Can you play the song?
Yeah.
Do we have it in there now?
No, it's in there.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
Alcoholism. Coyote.
Oh, no, I was giving him direction in the present. Oh, can you? So we can leave it all in, right? Oh, yeah. What Katie just thought was I was giving you direction on like a pause. But no, I don't mind that being on. That's sort of fun about this.
It's the after show.
Yeah, but it's fun that like we do when we're off stage. We do bits and then we give each other direction and then we do it again. And that's what's great about it. So, okay. So I was just thought it would be fun to sort of tweak it with that direction. Okay. So go ahead. Play the jingle, please.
He's the worst guesser, in the world. Blah, 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 blah. He's the worst guesser I've ever heard. I'm telling you,
You have a question for Danny?
Yeah. Danny, who was the guy who orchestrated the Vietnam War?
Oh. Oh, shit. I know who that is.
He was the puppet
master. What was his...
It's Henry is his first name.
Oh, Henry Rollins. Henry Rollins. No, Henry Rollins. No. Henry Adams.
No. What? Henry Adams.
That was a beer maker. You're right. No, that was a while before.
He had Brillo hair, kind of.
I know who you're thinking.
Henry Phillips. No, he's that's
Are you fucking stupid?
What? Okay, I'm sorry. George Wallace. No.
Hold on, Eddie. I don't mean to interrupt. Listen to what Eddie's saying. You're just
I'm sorry. What is it?
Can I give him a clue here?
Yeah, give me a clue.
Okay, he was the guy behind many presidents starting in the 60s. And you did get the first name right.
Henry Ford?
He invented the fucking automobile. What are you talking about?
Oh, he did? Oh, yeah, that's right. That was before that. Okay, no.
No, thick, this is dark.
Like a politician.
Thick,
this is like a politician,
black
right?
Glasses,
King
yes.
Henry. King Henry the
idiot?
Second?
Not no, King I'm talking Henry about third. 1960s, 70s. He was even in there in 70? The 80s.
Oh, the 80s. Henry's Crime with Keanu Reeves.
That's a fucking movie.
That's from the 80s.
Am I alive? Am I alive? I mean,
wait,
is this a joke?
No. Henry's Markets on Third.
Henry's
Tacos on Moore Park in Tahunka.
What the fuck are you talking about? No, this guy was the man behind the presidency's Al Franken.
Oh, Henry Paulson Jr., the guy that did the bailout
for
President Bush.
No, this was in the 60s, the 70s.
Yeah. He
had a very deep voice.
I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen,
Henry Cavill, the guy that's playing Superman?
What the fuck are you talking about? He's not an actor.
You guys.
Stop. Shut the fuck up. He's not an actor. Listen to the fucking clues, Daniel.
Okay, what? Henry Waxman. Henry Waxman, right? He's a politician. That's not an actor.
Henry Waxman is a modern day.
Let me help him a little.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Wait. From it's the not Schwarzenegger. Eddie, I got it from the 60s.
Henry Schwarzenegger?
No. Oh, Henry Schwarzenegger. I know. I went to high school with him. That's
no,
not him,
it's not a Schwarzenegger.
Is it Henry Heimlich? Because.
You have a serious fucking
helper.
Stop helping him. We don't need your help. If you don't have an answer, don't help us. You know what you are?
He was imitated a lot. SNL did a lot of imitation. Al Franken did a funny
Ladies
parody.
And gentlemen, I would like to tell you.
Oh, Henry Stallone.
Oh, you're the worst fucking guesser in the world. Worst fucking guesser. You're no help. Fucking
Jesus
bullshit.
Christ.
The outro song.
He's the worst guesser.
It's very similar to the intro song.
Oh, Jesus. What do you think? We'll get some good feedback on that bit.
Is that the first time you did it?
No, we did it once before. But I think it's better when we don't set it up as a bit.
Yeah.
Nah, what are you going to do, right?
It's all right.
Well, we showed people behind the comedy curtain.
Do you know what the hardest thing in this world is?
What is it?
And I really.
Glory holes? That's a pain in the ass. Like, is my dick going to somewhere it shouldn't be going, or is this a safe place?
I know. Yeah. Can you really trust people?
That's a big
that's
trust
what it's
thing.
About.
That's like an improv group.
Public bathroom.
Yes, that's like an improv group. You fall backwards, are you going to be caught? Stick your dick in a crawler.
Yeah, they should do that at corporate retreats. Forget falling backwards. You should go into a,
yes!
You should go to a boardroom and stick your dick
like
out.
At Pfizer. Like, hello, this is Pfizer. I'm your corporate leader, Dan, and we're going to have glory holes for this convention, and I think it's a great way. Teamwork.
Yeah.
Now there'll be people who'll be sucking, and then there'll be people getting sucked.
Well, here's a guy that stopped going to glory holes, but not for the right reason. You ready? Ask me why I don't go anymore.
Why don't you go anymore?
Ah, you keep sucking. You can't trust people.
What? Really?
You can't trust people.
You mean if you could trust people, you would be going to glory holes constantly?
I just went there. You get freaks. They're not who they say they are. You know, there's some gross people behind there.
You talk to them?
Well, I try to.
You know, there's a Zagat's guide now for glory holes. Do you know it?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. There is a Zagat's guide for glory holes. Yes.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You
don't go to glory holes? Seriously, you don't go to glory holes?
No. I look at that. I think I have to answer that. Come on. You never been to a glory hole?
I would like to say this is Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger.
It was Henry Kissinger.
Oh, it was Henry Kissinger. Mm. Who is that? I don't know who that is.
He was a puppeteer behind the man. He was a war criminal who's basically treated
like... You know
like
what's funny about Henry Kissinger is that when he opened China, he did that with Nixon, right?
That's right. That's right. I should have said that.
Yeah, he opened China. And when he opened China, he was hailed a hero because the American manufacturing was so excited that they were going to shit sell to China. They were going to sell shit to China now.
Oh,
and they were
like,
we're going to sell toothbrushes and toys to China.
Yeah.
We're going to make so much money.
Right.
Cut to...
We will sell toothbrushes to
and
China.
That was another thing we were talking about, how you noticed the term cut to has been very popularized by people that are not in the business.
Oh, that's kind of true.
Cut to. Hey, by the way.
Cut to, we're cut in a glory hole. Me, Dan, and Johnny are in a glory hole.
Anyway, fade in. The three of us are sitting in the van, okay?
Everybody's Bob Evans.
Here's the hardest thing. Mm. Remember I said the hardest thing in the world. This must be the hardest thing.
What is
to
it?
Prove... In this world that you're insane is very hard because, like, you're in the court. Like, when you're insane, like, I picture a guy, right? This goes long, but it'll all come full circle. You're a guy. Mm-hmm. You're going around the neighborhood. You're chopping. You start by your capturing people, and you're bringing them into the basement, mm-hmm. right? And then you let them out after 2 days, and your wife goes, you're insane. And you go, I am not. Hal, I am not insane. You are insane. And then it gets worse and worse. And your wife goes, you have a mental, I should report. Anyway, then he starts capturing him and bringing him down there and killing them and eating them. And the wife says, you're insane. He goes, I am not insane. Then he goes to court. And how many times do you see these situations? They try to plead insanity and they go, no. And the guy goes back to... The guy goes back to his wife and he goes, I told you I wasn't insane.
Yeah, but Al, I think that's when you wanted to be insane because now they're going to cut you up.
Now, I'm not insane, though. That's all I'm saying. A bunch of people.
Al, you're missing the point.
No.
You were insane for eating these people because people shouldn't be eaten. They should be spoken to.
Maybe I shouldn't have said eaten because by the time you eat people, you are always declared insane. But you know the people that are on borderline,
not necessarily,
like
if you have Dershowitz for a lawyer, he'd get you off.
Well, there are some crazy things that people they try to declare they're insane and they go, well, you're not insane. And I get it. They're saying, I get it the real way. But you know, but it's still funny that like sometimes they go not insane. Like I just picture a guy going, I knew it. I knew I wasn't insane. Everybody told me I was insane, funny. And my therapist, well, 12 jurors and a judge fucking proved me right. Sure, I'm in jail, but at least I know I'm not insane. I'm not insane.
I am
fucking
not
tired
insane.
Of hearing it.
Finally, vindication in the form of a life sentence.
Hey, I took my
have
garage.
You ever thought, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever thought about this? Well, like, watch the prison show. I've had this thought for real.
What?
Where I've watched like a think of a prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take out the
prisons are pretty
anal rape part out of it.
Just to not have to think anymore.
Don't make that joke.
Yeah,
no, no.
If you're just there, no one bothers you. Your phone's not going to ring. No one's going to email you some bullshit. You can sit there.
A lot of people
work
become
out,
scholars in
read.
Prison. A lot
you
of people
get
become
so
scholars.
Much done.
And
know.
I'll tell you one other thing.
And work out. I would get in shape. I'd get
okay. I got the answer.
My law degree.
Yeah, and if you could get Wi-Fi in your cell?
I have an answer. This is Todd Glass. I'm using my other PA system. I must override the show. I would like to have some input right now on the topic. We're at 30 minutes. We do have to wrap this podcast up, but I'd like to interject.
So anyway, what you just said about prison is that that's why the rape is probably important, because other than the rape... The prisons would want to be in prison. So as crazy as that is, the rape is the only thing keeping.
Well, how about the guy? Did you hear the story about the guy who robbed a bank just to get health care? This is true. This happened.
Well, how did he get health care to rob a bank?
Because they have to take care of your. Did you hear about it? You heard about it, right? Yeah, because he had a condition.
Oh, in prison, they have to keep you alive.
They have to tend to you medically.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you commit a federal crime, they have to pay for your. Education in prison.
If you what?
If you commit a federal crime.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to Susie Orman at a young age and start saving your money, you won't have to.
Or if you're Jewish, you'll never have to.
All right, everybody. Well, here we go.
You think Bernie Madoff is getting raped in prison?
I hope so.
Well, obviously. But do you think he is? Do you think he's in that kind of a prison?
No. Bernie Madoff is not.
What I picture him
is on his back in a really big cell, just with like a ball and just hitting it up in the air. And every time he hits it again.
He's probably got a laptop or at least an iPad in there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he's well, maybe not because, I don't know.
All right.
Know.
As we go to break, first of all, I want to welcome a very funny young comedian, Blake Wexler.
Hey.
He moved here from Philadelphia today.
That's your hometown.
Yes, he drove here last night. What time did you get in, Blake?
Today?
You can just talk loud.
Oh, yeah.
Was that today?
I got in at 7.
Well, and
two
you,
nights ago. Two
this
nights.
Is your first day here?
This second. Is second.
Second.
Oh, well, you're a veteran.
Yeah, and he moved here from Philly. That's
he got a development deal from WB yesterday. And
hey, there's a new kid in town. People love new kids, by the way. Oh, Jesus. At Warner Brothers, they're like, what's your last name?
Wexler's
in town, Bob. Did you take a look at what he put up on YouTube yesterday as soon as he got in? What do you say? What do you say we get him in, give him some kind of development thing? No, I don't want to see Glass.
Wait, the worst guesser in the world.
Fuck him.
Be the executive. I'm my manager talking to you. But Blake Wexler, you just got off the phone talking about Blake Wexler, and then talk about him more, and then you pick up the other phone. It's my manager.
Okay, just have Wexler come in, and we're probably going to sign him up, and let's just really, this kid is brilliant. All right, hello?
Hey, it's how you doing? It's Jerry. I'm calling about Todd Glass.
Oh, please, don't waste my fucking time, Jerry. Please.
What are you talking about? Have you seen us? She's been working very hard on his stand-up.
It's the same old shit, Jerry. I feel like it's a fucking old bag of shit. And stop giving. I got a kid, Wexler, who just came
into
town.
Jerry, this is Diane. You have Blake Wexler's manager back online, too.
Goodbye, Jerry. Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
It's still me.
It's still me, you prick.
You don't ever do that to me. I'll fuck your children. I'll fist your children in front of you. Now, put on Wexler, please. Margaret, get me Wexler. Now, this kid is brilliant. Did you see this?
I need to find more comedians. To give our specials to. Our network is dry as shit.
All right, who's this?
Wexler animated his penis on a piano. What else do I want?
So, Blake, welcome here to California. Good luck. How old are you?
Thank you. I'm 22.
You're old.
Ooh.
Start talking when
you were 11.
Yeah, I would just
start over.
All right, we do have to. By the way, that's it. This was fun. We had a good time, as always. I mean, this seems like memories. These are great memories we've had tonight.
That's great.
As we go to a close. Do we have any music memories?
Is there any?
Is this it? Eddie, yeah, before we remember, any things you want to plug?
I'd like to plug, please follow me on Twitter, at Eddie Pepitone. Please, if you're in New York, I'll be appearing at Gotham Sunday, September 25th.
You know this all by heart.
Yeah. Sunday, September 25th at Gotham in New York City. Please follow my pudding strip. It's a daily comic video.
You do them every day?
We film 30 in one setting and then put them out for over a month.
Oh, my God. They're so funny.
You like? Yeah.
Oh, Eddie.
At pudding strip on Twitter. It's P-U-D-D-I-N-S-T-R-I-P.
Say it again. I interrupted you. I apologize.
P-U-D-D-I-N-S-T-R-I-P.
DDINSTRIP. Pudding Strip without the G. And that's a fun
Hey,
thing.
Has Pudding contacted you? How come Jim Gaffigan gets lucky? Why, if I'm like you, I would think if somebody...
Oh, ours is so dark.
So what? So is Pudding. Pudding. Chocolate brown.
But there's a lot of... Pudding is just a product. It's not a brand.
I'm very anti-corporate. Right.
Hey, have Bananas contacted you about that thing you do about bananas?
I know, but I would do it.
I know, right? You know, at first I had a twinge of like, why isn't Pudding contacting me? But they'd have to be sick because all our humor is very dark.
It's funny that you're right. It's not as dark. But then Jim Gaffigan only talks about how Hot Pockets give you diarrhea and they're horrible and they can't send them enough of them. Which is great.
God,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's true.
They send them.
He'll sell anything, that fella.
What do you mean?
He'll sell anything. He does so many commercials, right?
No, Gaffigan? No, I don't think so.
Oh, he used to. Maybe he made enough money.
Well, maybe he did him as an actor. Like that wasn't like his name. He was just like a guy who auditioned for used to audition. But
that's true. Jim, oh, yeah. When he did commercials, I bet it was not.
Every commercial for a while was Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, that was. But not as Jim Gaffigan. Like in other words, now that he has a what do you call it, a status... Yeah. He does. I don't think he's done any.
A cachet to his name.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you. There's that. Check out those pudding videos. They're hilarious.
Thanks.
I'd like to plug my new website. Eddie's new website.
It's just eddiepepitone.com.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Now, Daniel, go ahead.
Go, Daniel. What do you got?
I'll be funny at a party this weekend, probably.
No, he really is.
And I am fun. I tell great stories. and then
they gave him a cookie, and that's when they had him.
Then cut to, they're all dead. Fade out. And I have a Twitter thing, so find me on Twitter.
What a plug. I have a Twitter thing.
I got nothing. I got...
you fall it.
Hey, you know what I'd like people to do if you're listening after the show? You know, if you have a sketch and it's a minute long, like a radio sketch, like the old days when they would play, you know, whatever. People do it now, too.
Send it in.
If it's a minute, put some sound effects, make it like, and we'll play it. And then if you're, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll get some. That'd be great.
If they have a sketch written about radio?
No.
A recorded
sketch that we could play on the show.
An old radio sketch?
No. Are you serious?
I feel like I'm doing the guessing thing. Yeah. No.
No, like you know what I mean, right? You're not really asking that, right?
I am.
Oh, no, if you have a sketch, like I'm saying radio sketch because it obviously couldn't be shot video, but just an audio sketch, send it into the show and we'll play it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, jeez, you sucked the shit out of that bit. What did I suck the shit out of? It was a statement.
That'd be funny if DJs just hired people who just, you know, confused shit and made it longer, but he loved them. That was great, Bob. You really drew that out another hour and a half.
Because they need the time filled.
Yeah. Bob, that was great.
Wait. So the guy's going to be there?
No, radio sketch.
Wednesday?
It's a radio sketch. Like the old, I just say, here's where you got lost. Like the old days, they used to have more radio sketches. That's all I was saying. You know what I mean now?
No, I'm not sure. Are you saying that these people have written these sketches?
Okay, listen up. I want people that are out there. There's people out there and they have a sketch.
You're talking about our listeners, correct?
People that listen to the show, yes.
Right. So, okay. But people listen to the show don't write sketches necessarily.
There might be some.
They usually garden in Massachusetts, no?
No, there's people that listen to the show. All right. all right, so that was good. We had fun tonight. And then here's what I want to do. I want to do a bit where we reminisce about the show. We all talk at the same time about whatever we can remember about the show, and that's how we fade out into oblivion this week. So it's like, oh, my God, and then there was that, and then you did that. That was so funny. Okay. It looks like it's the end of the movie. The camera widens, and we're all talking about our summer.
This is the end.
Okay, here we go. That was a lot of fun tonight. Oh my God.
Boy, my mother with electroshock. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun. That was at the beginning.
And talking about how much pot you can handle is so...
And then you came in and I just remember when
you
sat
can
down,
handle a lot, apparently.
And then I did that thing. You fucked that shit.
Do you remember the glory hole thing?
Oh my God. Wow. When you were saying, what was the thing you were saying? It was something.
It was the thing about just feeling happy. The Mumble song was so good.
And then I remember
when he asked you if you fucked that shit?
Did you fuck it?
When I said, do you fuck that shit? And then I played, what song did I play?
How about the Indian karaoke? Now that's going to make strides for relations, right? I mean, that was a
We have a multicultural audience here.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.